SOAM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. The impact of bullying. New research finds the effects can be long-lasting and build over time. ABC's Larry Jacobs says a new study questioned thousands of children and their parents.
Bullying can create a very deep horizon.
Continued bullying is more painful for the child, and the pain lasts a lot longer if they're bullied in more than one grade.
Laura Boca out of Boston Children's Hospital with what's considered to be one of the first studies to follow children from grade school to middle school and examining the psychological and physical effects of bullying.
A full 45% of 10th graders who were bullied in both the past and the present has the worst psychological health. It's a very strong argument for early intervention.
Secretary of State John Kerry has called climate change perhaps the world's most fearsome, destructive weapon. Speaking of Indonesia, Kerry mocked those who deny existence or question its causes, comparing them to people who once existed. The earth is flat. Co-pilot of an Ethiopian Airlines flight hijacked a plane and took it to Switzerland instead of Rome. Lama Hassan of the ABC's foreign desk in London.
The co-pilot of the plane took over the control while the pilot went to the restaurant, landed the plane, and reportedly left the window on the road. And that's when the co-pilot, Switzerland, has now been arrested. He is being questioned by police.
Fertility treatments are on the rise. Researchers say as many as 2% of babies born in the U.S. continue with advanced fertility health. Another winter storm moving towards the coast in the Midwest. Anywhere from 3 to 6 inches of snow expected in Chicago. This is ABC.
Safety. I'm saying it 3 times. Studies show you need to hear something 3 times to remember it. But remember, safety is important to me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products that help keep our facilities safe and people safe. Stay with me, kids. Safety from Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the one who gets it.
For someone you love, is safety surgery that will require anesthesia? There are questions you will have. Is anesthesia safe? Studies show that anesthesia is safer than ever before. Who will administer my anesthesia? Whoever will be a certified registered nurse and anesthesia, a healthcare professional specializing in anesthesia care. For a free brochure on the anesthesia process, call the American Association of Nurses and Anesthesiists at 847-692-7050.
President Obama travels to a summit this week with
meeting his next-door neighbors at a three-way summit in Mexico Wednesday, President Obama faces some difficult calls over neighborly fences. With the Mexican president, it's about immigration and violence along the southern U.S. border. With Canada's prime minister, it's about the crucial XL pipeline. If U.S. doesn't approve it, Canada says it will ship its oil to Asia.
ABC White House correspondent Ken Thompson in Washington. Blame it on the weather, the harsh winter, and much recovery in the midst of an economic slowdown.
RedCrossBlood.org today.
If you or someone you love is facing surgery that will require anesthesia, there are questions you will have. Is anesthesia safe? Studies show that anesthesia is safer than ever before. Who will administer my anesthesia? Usually it will be a certified registered nurse anesthetist, a healthcare professional specializing in anesthesia care. For a free brochure on the anesthesia process, call the American Association of Nurse Anesthetists at 847-692-7050.
Hey, Dave, be extra nice to Jim. He's had a really bad week, so he'll be super stressed.
Okay.
Hey, guys, beautiful day for golf. I'm up.
Wow, I guess your back's feeling better.
Fantastic. He looks pretty relaxed to me.
I know. Jim, heard you lost a big account at work.
It happens.
And your daughter totaled your new car?
You know, teenagers.
Jim, you seem too relaxed. Are you on anti-anxiety medication or what?
Every night, in my backyard.
Your backyard?
In my new hot spring spa. It does wonders for my sore muscles, and it's a great way to relax and let stress just melt away.
Maybe a hot spring spa would help me.
I've seen your scorecard. You could use all the help you can get.
Stress reliever? Backyard masseuse? Athletic coach? What will a hot spring spa be for you?
Visit Burnett Pools to find out how easy it can be to relax in your own hot spring spa or view us online at burnettpools.com.
We've got it all!
Rusty Humphries.
More people coming out attacking the Tea Party, right?
I'm starting to say, you know what? Democrats, bring it on. I want more attacks of the Tea Party. I want to see more hate coming from the left. Why?
I want the Democrats to continue to show their true colors.
News Talk 600. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I think I'm going to call it WHAPPY. It's been what? What?
That's a good song. It should be happy.
I'm addicted.
Well, that's what music's supposed to do.
No. Not like that. This is bad. This is certifiable.
That's one of those songs you get stuck in your head.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All day long.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's a good message. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Sticks and Ben are in studio with me, and Diva's on the phone. I'm going to have a little fun for the first 10 minutes and 30 seconds. I'm going to take a break, and then I'm going to come back and talk about Michael Dunn. I'm going to give you my take on it. I'm going to give you my take on it at the top of every hour, probably between each break, and then we can have conversation on it. It is open, Mike. We'll go where you want to go. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. But this issue keeps coming up, and so I'm going to have a happy moment for the next 10 minutes and 6 seconds, and then we're what?
Happy President's Day.
That's right.
What is up with this? The banks are closed.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. I can't send my stuff back to Duluth Trading.
Which means, I want you to know, I've been carrying stuff, got to go to the post office for the last 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I get everything in the car to go to the post office, and guess what?
Well, the government shut down today, which we should be used to that by now, so no big deal.
This is really bad.
What?
This is really
bad. It's a holiday.
A holiday of what? The kids are off from school. What in the world would a kid need to be off from school? They've been off from school all winter.
It's President's Day, which I believe is a combination of Washington's birthday and
Lincoln's birthday,
and they sort of put it
they
in the middle.
They put them all together because they didn't want to
celebrate each of them separately.
They didn't want to discriminate.
True. And we got the Olympics going on.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of it.
Really?
I watched the bobsled.
Well, you know what? All of America.
I did watch them last night.
Well, listen, since our president was elected, all of America should be familiar with the downhill events.
Ben, I said.
What?
You know, happy joy. You got 8 minutes and 50 seconds, and you just can't stand.
No,
Ben.
He's a fan of the giant slalom.
Ben.
Which and all
ben.
The and he does downhill
minutes
events.
And 41 seconds.
That's downhill
Ben.
Event. What?
Can't you just? I said happy.
That is happy.
No, I got to go back. You didn't get it. You didn't get it.
With the air,
you got. I got to. You got to go back.
I'm lost now. In fact, I even think they used this song during the Olympics.
What?
During, I think they did. NBC used it.
Oh, everybody. I mean, the song is addictive. I mean, you get it in your head, and it next becomes your theme song.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Tracy, I've been waking up all morning long, all week long. I set my time to just wake up at 6:30 every morning. I don't know why, Tracy, but I do.
I'm telling you, this song gets in your head, and it's like I was on my way here going, because I'm happy. I knew it was over the weekend. I was really down
at the same time.
What'd you say?
I'm brushing my teeth dancing this song at the same time. I've
never
done that in years.
That's good. People need this because, listen, when was the last time we saw the ground in Youngstown, Ohio?
God, about a month.
Yeah, we've been snow covered. It's got to be one of the longest.
We had 6 more inches tonight.
Uh-huh. We are?
Yeah.
I thought it was supposed to be 50 coming up here soon.
It's supposed to be Wednesday, 50 degrees Wednesday, but we're supposed to get 6 more inches.
Okay, 50
four,
degrees.
4 to 6 inches tonight. We're under a winter storm watch.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Put that happy back song on.
Hold on. Wait a
yeah,
minute.
We need that.
Mahoney, Trump, Lawrence, and Mercer County.
What'd you say, Eric?
Mahoney, Lawrence, Mercer, and Trumbull County.
No, you're reading
Columbia.
It wrong. And you're reading it wrong.
Mm.
There's something wrong with what you're reading. Listen, the sun
can
is
we blame
out.
Al Gore on this?
No, he said global warming, not global cooling. Hi, Diva. Global warming.
So do you guys remember this song, If You're Happy and You Know It? No, not If You're Happy and You Know It. What was the other song with the Caribbean singer?
Don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry.
What was his name? Mick.
McFarlane. That song
McFarlane,
got in your head. It was playing everywhere during that time.
Yeah, it did. But it didn't. This one just has a, I mean, this is like a, as Mark Manji said, it's a toe-tapper.
There was another song that was,
there was
Caribbean, UB40 did it. I forget what it was, but it was catchy, too. You remember the band UB40?
No.
Now I'd be 47, but.
No.
When I
remember UB40.
Yeah, UB40. They had a very catchy reggae song that was really, really good back then. In the early 90s, I believe.
Well, there was,
I'll help
there was,
you carry on. Is that it? I know, I know I can't sing, y'all. Please don't. I know I can't sing to save my life.
I can't forget, but I still.
I want to know if you know if we can go back this far.
Lean on me.
This is, huh? Lean on. No. Because, I mean.
That's a catchy tune also.
Yeah, but it wasn't as. It was. This one.
Red Wine. That was it. Remember that one? That was UB40.
Oh, I was just thinking. I was like, he can't be talking about Red Wine, is he?
Yep. That's Diva. That's the exact. Wasn't that catchy?
Yeah, it was. I love that song.
Yeah.
Red Wine.
Diva, you're too young to know that song.
If you're happy and you know it.
Clap your hands.
Yeah, don't you remember that one?
Yeah.
We used to sing that in school.
My.
What? What?
How
my
time flies.
My, yeah. And I see Jerry and Joni and Steven.
That witch with the magic mirror? Hey,
no.
See, I was afraid of that show.
That was Romper Room.
I was afraid. She was a witch.
No.
She had a magic mirror. She could look in it and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest? She was evil.
No, she was, I see Mary and...
Yeah, she was doing remote viewing. That's devil stuff. Scared the heck out of me.
Okay, what song is this? This is not my time right here.
Stop your feet.
That's a Sunday school song. That's a Sunday school song.
He said the fight might get hereditary. Diva, turn your TV down. I know that's you.
That's not my TV.
Eric, is that you?
No.
Somebody's got background noise going.
I've lost my show.
Oh, wait a
minute.
Okay,
lost your
I have
show.
A,
you lost your show.
I have music trivia since
okay.
Someone brought up the group E40. Does anybody know what that stood for?
Ben knows.
No, I actually I don't.
Okay, it's a British reggae group. UB40
right.
Stood for Unemployment Benefit Form 40.
Now you know why they were drinking a lot of red wine. Here we go. Yeah.
Reason why they selected in reference to the signing on document issued to people claiming unemployment benefit from the UK government's Department of Health and Social Security.
I never saw the videos of this. They are drinking wine in this. I never knew what they were saying.
Yeah, I was talking.
I knew
to
they were singing
mine.
About red wine, but I didn't at that time. I was a little kid, so I was like, "Are they really talking about drinking red wine?" So I just, it was like, no, I thought maybe it was a metaphor. But...
No, it wasn't a meta, nothing. They sitting up here crazy as red bugs. Remember, that was the 80s. Everybody was getting high.
Well, no, look at reggae music. I don't think reggae music has metaphors. They just say it like it is. I mean, look at Bob Marley's songs. He didn't hide anything. No woman, no cry. I think reggae is one of the
purest form of expression.
Exactly. When they say red wine, they were drinking it.
And when they say They sang a lot about smoking reefer, smoking ganja too.
Yeah, and they did it.
And they did it.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, they didn't hide anything.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break in about a minute and 30 seconds. And I'm in studio with Ben and Styx. And I'm going to go into a deep topic today. I'm going to come back. I'm going to tell you what I think. And then I'm going to let everybody scream at me because of what I think. Because if we keep on going down the road, we're going on down. We're going nowhere. So I just want to tell everybody that. Because I don't think anybody understands that. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we get
right.
a hamster wheel and put it out in the middle of the studio in the parking lot and show people where they're going?
Only if we can name it Congress.
No. We can call
hey,
it America.
Well, hey, Ben, if pro is the opposite of con, what's the opposite of progress?
Congress.
Regress.
Congress. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
People don't look at the definitions of words and what they really mean.
Yeah, the melody of them.
You know, I was talking, having a discussion on Facebook this weekend, and we just got to realize that, you know, they're trying to blame the Tea Party for not getting anything done, but
they're not in power.
But the thing is, it's both sides of the fence because you got the House will pass something, it gets over to the Senate, and Harry Reid just shoves it in a pigeonhole somewhere and leaves it left.
Can I tell you guys something? Really?
Really.
The Tea Party has not been in there for the last decade.
I know.
And can I tell you something for about the last 15 years? The Congress of the United States do all the sessions for the last, you know, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing nothing anyhow. The only difference difference is we have more social media and we have more talking heads telling us we're not doing anything. But they haven't been doing anything for years.
Let me give you a bit of history. This goes all the way back to Washington's cabinet, Alexander and Jefferson.
I was watching a documentary over the weekend with Wilson when he had his stroke.
Woody Woe.
Yeah, this is it. States' rights versus a strong federal government has been the battle since the first president.
Yep.
And how?
And it's still going on today.
Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers.
Yep.
Well, how when he had a stroke, the Speaker of the House came to see if he was able to handle his business, and he sat up. They strategically put some papers by the side of his bed.
Oh, his wife was running the show.
And the wife was running the show, and nobody knew he was you know, paralyzed on his left side.
Yeah.
Nobody paid attention. It was like, oh, well, life is good.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, a certain last year of his presidency or something like that, she wouldn't even let anybody in the bedroom.
Well, the question is, if you don't come out the bedroom, what does that mean? Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I mean, seriously, if you stay in the bed for the last year of your administration, what does that mean? That means you're functioning properly, right? Okay, welcome to Congress.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Okay, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM, and I'm still on the Pharrell Williams Happy. It is from the soundtrack of Despicable Me,
yeah,
which is a kids' movie.
Yeah.
A dumb kids' movie where everybody walks around looking like Pills dressed up.
Now you know why they say get happy, right? Everybody's happy.
Happy, happy, happy.
You got all those despicable pills
just
everybody's
like
taking.
Phil Robertson, happy, happy, happy.
Well, listen, I have to. I gotta go here, and the verdict came down on, I want to say, Friday night for the case for the loud music, and it was a case that had to do with a man that decided that he didn't like the music that somebody was playing in their car. They were somewhere at a gas station or somewhere, and he walked over to the young man and then said the young man had a gun. He was scared and shot. Young man.
While he was driving away.
Well, and then he left and took a ride. Hmm. And the case came back where the murder charge was a hung jury, yet he was convicted on the other three.
Which were?
I'm not quite sure because
were they murder in a lesser degree?
Yes, they were.
Oh no, he was convicted of three counts of second-degree attempted murder, one count of firing a deadly weapon into a vehicle. So
yeah.
He's got four counts.
Which technically I think is correct
Let me finish what I'm saying before we get all the nits, because this is I'm gonna say something that's gonna be really. This is my issue. We tend to blame the stand your ground law. I'm reading Facebook over the weekend, and people are all up in arms about what the hell is this that he didn't get convicted of murder one.
That's premeditated.
Hold on. Let me finish, Ben. And whether you agree or disagree with the verdict, you have to understand that the prosecutor has to prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt. And if there is any doubt, no matter what, you cannot convict on that charge.
Now, no, not true.
Let me finish, Diva. The prosecutor has to prove the case without a reasonable doubt. It is what it is. That's the law. But this is the issue, and this is the issue that I have with African Americans and how they look at this. They don't want to get engaged in the process. They don't want to sit on juries. They don't want to go to law school. They don't want to go work for the prosecutor's office. They don't want to become investigators. They don't want to get engaged. They don't want to be a part of the change. But they don't want to run for office. They don't want to vote for your state rep. They don't want to lobby. They don't want to go down and figure out how the process works. But they want to sit on the sidelines, and they want to
play the victim.
Absolutely. And I come from the school, if you don't like it, change it. And being proactive, they're still talking about Zimmerman like Zimmerman was the biggest racist that they've ever seen. Yet I promise you, Zimmerman is a wackadoodle. He's crazy as heck, and we need to just deal with him and his crazy and get the race thing out of this. We know that people are more intimidated by African-American males, but if you don't like something, then change it. But what's sitting on the sidelines crying and screaming all over television, all over Facebook, all over whatever, and then sitting after the death dies and things go backwards, then going back to your old way of doing things does not work anymore. And it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And you need, if you don't like the way things are done, you should not have 12% of the population and 40% of your men incarcerated, yet when you look inside of the jury pools and when you look inside of what's going on in your life, you're not engaged in it. You don't teach education where your kids can go out and be a productive adult, and you're killing more babies than you're actually having, and you wonder why things aren't going your way. So that is my monologue, my monologue for the day. No, I'm not happy with it because, no, a life is, I believe a life is a life, and every life is important. For what's going on right now, we are sitting on the sidelines doing absolutely nothing, talking about it with a lot of hot air, and I'm watching people say things that are really, really stupid, and they want to blame it on a law. We need to blame it on ourselves. I'm done.
You done?
You done?
Okay. You feel better?
Yeah.
You felt good.
To be honest, I don't know why they got a hung jury on the murder one.
Well, because it was not premeditated.
Well, no,
he didn't.
Necessarily.
Not necessarily, Diva.
Let me say, the state has, I mean, it's about proving beyond a reasonable doubt, not just any doubt. You can't just say, well, yeah, anybody could say, yeah, this could have possibly happened, so I'm going to not convict. No, you have to think of, as a reasonable person, is this person really telling the truth when it comes to self-defense, come to their defense claim? Secondly, John Guy, in his closing argument, stated in his rebuttal closing, we don't want lessers. We want what we charged him with. I believe the jury got hung up on choosing between first-degree murder and second-degree murder because a lot of people don't understand that premeditation does not mean you have to sit there and methodically plan the action before you commit it. You just simply have to think about it. And the fact that this guy went in his club box, pull out his gun, pull it out the holster, round the chamber, then turn around and shoot, shows premeditation. He thought about what he was going to do before he did it. You don't shoot almost at point-blank range without trying to kill somebody. That doesn't make any sense to me. But then some jurors are like, no, like Ben said, it wasn't premeditation. I think that's what they got hung up on. Some people got in their convictions. Nope, John, we're going to give the prosecution what they want, and that's why they came back hung because they couldn't agree.
But the prosecutor did not prove their case.
That was a very strong case.
The defense didn't even put on anything.
Just because they lose or get
a hung jury does not necessarily
Diva, did you hear Eric talking?
It was a very strong evidentiary No, what I was, all I was saying was that it was a very strong involuntary manslaughter case, not first-degree murder.
What the? I'm sorry. Involuntary manslaughter? How do you figure involuntary manslaughter when somebody purposely pulls out a gun and shoots almost point-blank range 10 times into a vehicle?
And somebody died. That would have been involuntary manslaughter.
No, that's not involuntary
manslaughter.
No.
That
was second degree.
Yeah.
I know
involuntary.
He meant to kill him.
Well, anytime you pull out a gun, you mean to kill. But yeah, involuntary manslaughter would sort of indicate that he killed them accidentally, and there was no accident in what happened. Was it premeditated? No, I don't believe it was premeditated. I believe it was second degree all the way. But no, there's no way it was third degree.
And how in the world everybody is talking
about? You see how they can come back with a hung jury?
Hold on,
because in
Diva.
My heart, still it was first degree, and you guys still in second degree.
We're gonna have a real civilized conversation before everybody jumps in here, because I'm quite sure everybody's before the day is out. Everybody's gonna jump in on this one, so you've got to be able to let everybody get their thought in, okay? And I know you're passionate about this because you've been watching it and following it, but you got to let everybody get their thought in. I agree, and I know it's a second degree murder case.
Mm-hmm.
Premeditation is hard to prove. It really is, unless it's calculated.
Right. I mean, they would have to prove that morning when he left his house, he took his gun specifically to kill four people or shoot at people that were going to play loud music at a gas station at the same time he was there.
That's not what that means.
That's not what that means to you. But the definition of the law is very clear.
The law is very clear. It does not mean it has to be methodically planned out step by step. It's just merely the fact he took his gun out at the time that he said, "You're not going to talk to me like that." He took his gun out of the glove compartment, chambered around, turned around, and shoot almost point-blank range. You guys have said it clearly. When someone takes out a gun and shoots, they are meaning to kill. So you mean to tell me you're arguing with kids, you're going to tell them, you're not going to talk to me like that, and then pull a gun out. What does that tell you?
But the difference is premeditation or an act of passion. That's the difference.
There is no act of passion. That's voluntary manslaughter. And there was no voluntary manslaughter.
That's not the
best. No, it's not voluntary manslaughter. It's
under Florida law, voluntary manslaughter can be considered an act. Considered under an act of passion.
And what I'm saying to you is, the jury was not convinced.
That
okay?
We don't know that. We don't know that though.
Diva.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do because if it came back hung. If it didn't come back hung. Diva, if it didn't come back hung, then they would have agreed with you.
Listen, Tracy. They had to choose between first-degree murder, second-degree murder, and manslaughter on that first charge. If you have someone like me on that jury who believes in their heart there was first-degree murder, and the prosecution tells them at the end of their case that we don't want lesser included, what do you think is going to happen? That is going to hang. It's going to hang on that first. All it takes is one person.
They came back hung. That's what we're saying.
All it
they
takes
came
is
back...
one person to say, look, it's not second degree, it's not manslaughter, it's first degree murder, I don't care what any of you say, and I'm not giving in. The last question they asked...
And then it comes back as a hung jury.
Exactly. So I don't understand why everybody is saying that on the first count, just because it came back hung, means that they didn't believe that it was premeditated, or they believed his self-defense claim.
Because there was someone on there who stood their ground and said they believed that it was a no bill, which was a non-conviction. And so they could not convict him of murder one.
No, that does not mean he cannot be tried for that.
Yeah, he can.
They're not going to retry him.
No, they won't. But that does not mean that
he
cannot.
Have you guys been watching this?
That's
he
what
already
I don't
said
understand.
They're
going to
retry
him. They could have convicted him on. That's all I was saying when I my comment. No,
Lord have mercy. Okay.
See, but they're not going to retry him.
Yeah,
he already said they're going to retry him. Unless he and the defense attorney says they're not interested in the deal. He has nothing to lose. He's facing more than 60
what
years
deal?
In prison.
He's going to get 75 years in prison. Why? So you mean to tell me they're going to try him on murder one because it was a hung jury?
Tracy, if that was your child, wouldn't you want vindication for your child?
Diva, can't they
that's
know?
An emotional question, Diva.
No, Diva. I would not want to sit through another trial on a murder one when you're going to get up to 75 years in prison.
But do they have to? Do they have to try him for murder one a second time around? Can they go for a lesser charge?
No, I think he was already convicted
of
lesser charge.
She already said
he was
going to try him again for murder one.
He was convicted of manslaughter?
Mm-hmm. So because of emotion. Because of politically correctness. I'm going to say this because if the country was not watching, no prosecutor in their right mind would go back and go after a murder one conviction when you have three other convictions that have come up and you can actually sentence this man to 75 years in prison.
And he's already 70 years old, so it's
absolutely
an effective life sentence.
So it's almost a life sentence. And you can actually get – he's 47 plus 75. He can come out when he gets done. And you can actually give him 75.
Well, he's eligible for parole after a third of the sentence,
which is 25 years.
Yeah, so he'll be 80 when he's eligible
correct
for parole. So,
so he's done.
That's an effective life sentence.
Mm-hmm. No, he can't get parole. He has to, unless the judge sentences him to the three attempted or concurrently, he can get parole. But if he sentences him consecutively, he's got to serve each 20-year sentence before he can get parole. And
okay,
more than likely, he's going to get
parole.
So it's a life sentence.
So 107 years old, he can get out of prison.
Right. And so now we really believe this is how the law works, that they're going to go back and try him again when we have other people who need to be tried and other court cases on a full docket. Diva, if it was my child, I would want to sit through another court case.
No, I ain't bringing
your
kid
back. I would want some justice for my child. I don't care.
Nah.
You can say whatever
Diva
you want, but it's my child, just like the Davis family said.
Do you mean to tell me you would want
to
sit through another murder trial?
Heck yeah. Yes.
He's going to prison. What more do you want?
I don't care. I want him to answer for what he did to my child, not for attempting to kill somebody. My child's the only one that's dead. I want him to answer for mine.
You mean to tell me you would want your child, you would want to sit through another murder case, go back through all the testimony all over again, and live through this process in another year and a half? Because
Crazy, you got to, with a dead child, you got
to
live through it every single day. So, I wouldn't mind it.
Not in court.
I mean, he's
already been convicted.
Okay.
And he's already going to prison.
Would you want to sit there and look at those pictures over and over and over again for another year and a half?
Come on.
Yeah.
Why
some
would you
parents,
put yourself through that when he's already going to prison for life? I mean, I know people who have had malpractice. I know people who have had malpractice cases where a child has died, and they said, you know what, it's not going to bring my kid back. Why, what's the use?
Right. And
because
Diva,
they don't
want to
live through
the pain
of the process.
And I am a parent, Diva, and I want to let my child rest in peace. The guy's going to prison, period.
I mean, and don't get me wrong, it would be different if he had not been convicted of anything and he was ready to go walk the streets. But as I said, if you want to do something for the living, then we need to become more proactive in what we do every day. Because what we're doing right now is just foolishness. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Armory is Youngstown's home for firearms. National Armory offers an unmatched selection of the highest quality products, from handguns and rifles to non-lethal arms, and a wide variety of accessories. Choose from the industry's top manufacturers, including Smith & Wesson, Beretta, and Glock. Let our knowledgeable and professional staff serve you. Open 6 days a week at the corner of State Route 7 and Walnut Street in Rogers, and Mahoning Avenue in Austintown. Visit us on the web at national-armory.com. National Armory. Shoot, hunt, train.
Attention all healthcare professionals. Is your practice accepting new patients? Are you looking to grow your business? If so, listen to this opportunity. Our radio station, which is part of Cumulus Media, is publishing and distributing 20,000 free local medical guides this spring. It includes a physician's listing, as well as marketing opportunities for your practice. This is a great opportunity for you to attract new patients. Make sure your practice is included in the medical guide. For all the details, call me, Brad Marshall, at 330-779-8127.
News Talk 600 welcomes the 63rd Annual HBA Home and Garden Show to Mr. Anthony's in Boardman, February 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Admission is free thanks to WW Heating and Air, Zins Construction, and Banner Supply. Free advice, free displays, free ideas. It's time again to join the Home Builders and Remodelers Association of the Valley as they present the 2014 Home and Garden Show. Our Valley's premier remodelers, builders, contractors, and landscapers will be on hand, showcasing products for all aspects of your home, and it's all free. Register to win an outdoor dining set courtesy of Lowe's at the 2014 HBA Home and Garden Show, your one stop for great ideas. Mark your calendars now for the 63rd Annual HBA Home and Garden Show at Mr. Anthony's in Boardman, February 21st through the 23rd. For hours and more information, visit online at myhbaworks.org. We are your HBA. We're working for you. Another live and local event from News Talk 600.
If you or someone you love is facing surgery that will require anesthesia, there are questions you will have. Is anesthesia safe? Studies show that anesthesia is safer than ever before. Who will administer my anesthesia? Usually it will be a certified registered nurse anesthetist, a healthcare professional specializing in anesthesia care. For a free brochure on the anesthesia process, call the American Association of Nurse Anesthetists at 847-692-7050.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. AM 600 is 47 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day today. I'm talking about the murder trial down in Florida, and who came back, and it was convicted of twice. And, Diva, you know, there are some people that are very, very passionate about this. Six and Spinner in studio with me, and, you know, Six said, you know, he meant to go over there and shoot the people. And he might have meant to kill them, but it wasn't, in their minds, they're not, it's not premeditated. But let me say this. This is my take on it, but however you feel about it. Continuing to have a conversation after the fact is not going to help anything change. And we keep on having this conversation. And black men keep on dying. And things keep on happening. And we wonder why things aren't changing. But for some reason, we are not proactive about anything that we're doing.
Would we be having the same discussion if he'd have took a tire iron out of the trunk and beat the driver to death?
Yeah.
Instead of shooting him?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Why?
Because.
The difference is the stand your ground can be any form of whatever. And it's not a bad law.
No, it's been
demonized by many, based
That's
upon
because,
their perception
right,
of it,
right?
But not because they you only hear the negative aspects of it, based on what the news media wants you to actually perceive. But let me also say this.
What's the guy's name again, Tracy?
See, I don't think stand your ground even comes into this.
No,
I didn't think
it
did either.
None of them came out of the car.
Right.
No, it
doesn't.
No,
he
didn't. Why does it come out? They were in the car, Diva. You have to be
no,
in front of
it. No, stand your ground is always a part of self-defense in Florida law because it says that a person has no duty to retreat. In self-defense cases, stand your ground is a part of their defense.
But
he didn't
Diva,
come out. He shot from the car. The first six 7 bullets he shot while he was in his car. After the vehicle, after the boys left to drive off to get away from them, then he came out of his car.
But no, Diva.
And shot again.
But the thing is, Diva, none of the so-called assailants ever exited their car, so he could not have been threatened by someone who did not get out of a car.
He is saying that Jordan Davis had a shotgun. I mean, no, Michael Dunn is saying Jordan Davis had a shotgun and pointed this gun at him. No, he's saying it. He said that Jordan Davis got out of his vehicle and was coming at him with his shotgun, and that's why he pulled his weapon.
Then why didn't he shoot him when he was walking across the parking lot and waited until he got back
in his car? He wasn't walking across the parking lot. The cars were right next to each other. They were so close parked to each other that Dunn and the front passenger in the Durango couldn't even open their doors to get out. That's how close they were. That's why I say it was premeditated,
Diva.
Because he shot off basically point-blank range into that vehicle. How the first passenger didn't get killed is an act of God. Because
the question is, and this is, I understand, one, he should have never confronted them about their music in the first place. Now, we do need to say that they needed to probably have their music down, and it shouldn't have been loud. We'll concede to that. But you shouldn't get killed because of it being loud.
Correct.
That's first of all. Second of all, Michael Dunn, was he convicted of the lesser included charges?
He was it wasn't lesser. Because they charged him with first-degree attempted murder.
I'm sitting here reading it. It says Florida man was guilty of lesser counts in stand your ground shooting.
Lesser counts is different than lesser included.
Diva, he was convicted of the lesser counts of murder. What I'm saying to you is
attempted murder.
Why is it that we are not being proactive about this?
You know what the real crime is here?
What?
It's the perception that white America has about black male teenagers to the point where he thought he was threatened that he had to go get a gun. It was his perception that he was threatened that he had to get a gun.
Exactly.
See, that's the real crime here.
But that's the crime that everyone has.
Yes.
Even with the who was the football player that went off on the little reporter?
Oh, I don't even remember
Richard Sherman.
Richard
Sherman. That young man right there
portrays black America in a bad light.
But the question is, if he had been white, you would not think of him the same way.
No.
The problem is white men and white women need to quit looking at black people. But the same media that we say we love, mm-hmm. who's in sensationalizing this case right now, who's getting ready to send a family back through hell again, retrying a case because of the media perception, is the same media that has portrayed black men in a negative light all these years.
Yep.
Well, look at the movie theater shooting. The old white guy pulls out his gun and just shoots a guy in point-blank range because they got an argument over texting. No one called that guy a thug.
And that's what I'm saying, Diva. That's what I'm saying. But then we also need to understand that we have not played into this either, because if you look at how they play us, and I said us, you haven't heard about anything to do with suppression or anything else when they don't want you to be engaged. They use race as a motivator, and we're not proactive enough to do anything about it. We have not changed our educational system in our own communities yet. We have not done anything about our prosecutors and the laws in our state yet. We haven't done anything about the conviction rate of African Americans in our communities yet. We don't do anything about black-on-black crime in our communities yet. Yet when this happens,
I wonder what more you think should be done, because even after the George Zimmerman case, after his acquittal, I mean, they were lobbying hard for that legislation.
They were lobbying hard?
Yes, they were. I mean, they were doing sit-ins, everything.
Diva, that's not lobbying. That's what I'm trying to tell you. People don't listen. That's not lobbying. Marching down the street singing a bunch of church songs is not lobbying.
No, that's not what I'm talking about, Tracy. No, they were actually lobbying. They went to the governor's office. They went to the Capitol building.
Diva, that's not lobbying.
They did sit-ins. They did
Diva,
everything asking them to change the law. What more did you want
them
to do?
You are just as bad as the rest of them. That is not lobbying. That is not how things happen, and that's not how things work, and you don't change laws that way. That's not where it comes from.
So where does it come from? How do you do it?
It comes from strategically planning on how you're going to get the numbers and how you count the heads to change the law.
Okay, you got to speak to me like I'm a kindergartner. You got to break that down like I'm a kindergartner.
Okay, let me break this down to you in the next 5 minutes. Lobbying comes from relationships, and it comes from numbers. So listen, this is what I do. I go and I find in your state, I find out where the numbers are of who's elected who wherever. And I make sure that I have a coalition in all of those areas. That if you do not do what I want you to do when you come up for election this year, you will not be sitting there. Why? Because I have enough people in your community to vote you out. So either you walk the line this way or you don't play at all. That's how lobbying works.
And that takes
organization and time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have the organization and the time, and if you don't know the savvy of it, you will never get anything done. And this is what's happening with, we don't sit down and learn the rules of the game, and you can't change the rules from the outside. So if you think going to the governor can't change anything without the legislature. And when you send a whole bunch of people down to the legislature that look like you but have no power, all they do is collect a paycheck and take some pictures with some other people. And that's what's happening. And it's been happening for years.
So you're saying it's going to take a bunch of white people to
change
things?
No, it's going to take a bunch of people, not white people, not black people, a bunch of people with a common interest who know what they're doing, but people don't listen. Lobbying is not about you don't change anything inside of the television screen. Al Sharpton going down there with his conk is not going to change anything. That's why we keep on doing the same thing over and over again and getting absolutely no results.
Okay, what's the difference between now and the bus boycotts and the marching and the sit-ins of the 60s? What's the difference between that happening and that working?
They were organized and times have changed.
Have you seen the form that Martin Luther King required every marcher to fill out before they were allowed to attend?
He knew what he was doing.
Right.
And while he was sitting at the table lobbying with these people, remember, no Democrat actually voted for the civil rights legislation.
This isn't about Democrat or Republican. Listen, Diva.
No Democrat voted for the civil rights legislation. But yet Martin Luther King was a Republican, and he could get people on the phone. He could have a conversation with them, and he could talk with them. You got to understand how this is played. So while you were marching and having sit-ins and they were showing things going on, he was actually sitting at the throne and at the board
table.
Seat having a conversation with these people. And that's not the respect that we have now because we're no longer organized. We don't understand that. We don't even know who our state rep is and what he does. You don't know what your state senator does. You don't, and he doesn't know your name, nor does he respect you. He comes to your church right before election, and you go out and vote for him based on his party, not based on what he's going to do for you.
But you do understand there was an overwhelming amount of African-Americans who were saying basically the same things that you're saying now, saying the same thing back then.
Diva, what I'm saying to you is unless you have an organized effort, you have absolutely nothing. And right now, all we're doing is the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, and it is a point of insanity.
What I'm saying is, I think that you're not seeing exactly what you want to see, so you're getting frustrated. All it takes is a started effort by one. All it takes is one to exact change. It starts with one.
It takes
and then with one,
person,
you can follow on it. What I'm seeing in
you
Florida.
Don't listen.
It takes one leader.
It takes one leader who has an organized
a real effort. Leader. Not a pretend leader, a real leader.
A leader that you guys see.
No, Diva. If you wanted to see real leadership, you would see change.
You've been listening to been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and
Friends. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM. You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
The co-pilot of an Ethiopian Airlines flight under arrest today after allegedly hijacking the plane to Rome. He flew it to Geneva, Switzerland, and was allowed to land after telling air controllers the plane was running out of fuel. More from ABC's Terry Moran in London.
The co-pilot apparently exiting through this open cockpit window down the rope, and that's when police arrested him. They now say he demanded asylum because he felt threatened in his home country. If charged and convicted in the hijacking, he could face up to 20 years in prison.
Swiss authorities say the passengers and crew are safe. Fog over the mountains at the Sochi Olympics, causing more problems than warm weather conditions today. Organizers have called off the men's biathlon and snowboard event until tomorrow. The fog had already pushed back the biathlon race from yesterday. Effects of bullying are long-lasting. They build over time. The finding of a study that questioned thousands of children and their parents.
Continued bullying is more painful for the child, and the pain lasts a lot longer if they're bullied in more than one grade.
The study's author, Laura Bogart, with Boston's Children's Hospital, says bullying should be spotted as quickly as possible.
It's a very strong argument for early intervention and immediate intervention before the effects of bullying can get much more serious for physical and mental health.
This research is one of the first studies to follow kids from grade school to middle school, looking at both the psychological and physical effects of bullying. Afghanistan's President Hamid Karzai is ordering changes to a draft of a law on criminal legislation. The proposal led to an international outcry. Afghanistan's parliament had passed the criminal procedure code that would have blocked relatives of victims of domestic abuse from testifying against alleged abusers. This is ABC News.
I want my company's network to be safer and more reliable.
Do you want to deal with multiple vendors?
No.
Are per-user fees and added feature costs okay?
No.
How about solutions that are hard to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Networks offers the largest family of powerful, affordable security networking and storage solutions designed to protect business users, apps, and data. All from a single source that's easy to do business with. Protect your business. Visit barracuda.com/product to try any free for 30 days.
The joint supplements of today are sadly incomplete because they don't give you the joint relief you need. Until now, introducing the complimentary two-week sample of Instaflex, our most powerful joint formula ever. It's the number one selling joint supplement at GNC. Claim your sample today. 1-800-451-6580. Great for your knees, hands, even your hips. Instaflex is available at GNC and Walgreens, where you can only get your complimentary sample by calling 1-800-451-6580. 1-800-451-6580.
Now news about your money. Financial markets are closed today, but last week was the strongest since the beginning of this year. There has been a link between cold weather and a slowdown in the economy, but the feeling is that's temporary and growth is likely to pick up again later in the year when weather conditions are better. It's much harder to get a job when you haven't had one for a while, but it is possible to get back into the labor market, even when work is difficult to find. Making new contacts in person and online can boost your chances, say experts, and volunteering is another way to go.
Volunteering for different organizations, that helps them build up skill sets. At the same time, it helps them network with people that may know about a job opening.
That's Jennifer Grass of Career Builder.
There's other people saying that, you know, I took a class, I went back to school full-time, I went back for a certification.
She says keep building on what you know. All of those things can help the employer know that you're staying active. This is ABC News.
Your one blood donation can help save the lives of up to three people. Make a difference in the lives of others. Give blood to the American Red Cross to help hospital patients. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org today.
I want my company's network to be safer and more reliable.
Do you want to deal with multiple vendors?
No.
Are per-user fees and added feature costs okay?
No.
How about solutions that are hard to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Networks offers the largest family of powerful, affordable security networking and storage solutions designed to protect business users, apps, and data, all from a single source that's easy to do business with. Protect your business. Visit barracuda.com/product to try any free for 30 days.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And I've got a Boy Scout troop in my studio really quick, and I'm going to let them talk with me for a minute. How are you today?
Good.
What's your name?
William Smith.
What's your name again?
William Smith, or if you want to call me Billy. Billy, you can.
I can call you Billy? And what school do you go to?
Robinwood Lane.
In Boardman?
Yeah.
And what grade are you in?
First.
And who are these people in this room with you? Who are all these guys in the room with you?
Cub Scouts.
Cub Scouts? And what are you learning in Cub Scouts? What are you learning? What have you learned today?
How to work the radio station.
How to work the radio station. Well, you're on the radio right now. And it's good to have you on with me. Who's the troop leader in here? Talk to us a little bit about the Cub Scouts. What ages are they a part of now?
Sure. We have a Tiger group here, which are first grade boys, and Cub Scouts go from first grade through fifth grade.
Okay.
We've done a lot of fun things recently. This is part of our communication achievement. The boys have written letters to each other and played a game of telephone, and this we did some things at our den meeting, and this is our Go See It, where we actually visited a media.
Well, this is awesome, and thank you for so much for putting the time in. Anybody else want to say something? Want to say hi to somebody? Hi.
What's your name, son?
Tony.
Hi, Tony.
And what school do you go to?
Market Street.
Market Street, Boardman? Okay.
Well, listen, I'm proud of you guys. Hey, I hear you guys can do a real good Pledge of Allegiance. You guys want to do it really quick? Come on. Come on. Who's going to start? Who's going to lead it?
Me.
Go ahead. No, I'm with this guy here because you've already talked. You start it off, young man. What's your name?
Joshua.
Hi, Joshua. You lead off the pledge.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There, give yourself a hand.
Hey, listen,
that was wonderful.
Did I do that wrong? I think I did. WSOM AM 600.
Offense to you, don't waste your time. Here's why.
Okay, we're back again, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. I love when the kids come in. They're so quiet when they come in. They're all bashful and everything, and it's kind of cool. So I appreciate them the den mothers bringing them in on their communication. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I loved hearing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, my little kids. That was awesome.
That is beautiful.
I want to go back to my topic because I don't want to go too far from this. And for my guest who's sitting in the chat room, listen, I really do understand this. Lobbying is an organized effort, and it takes work, and it takes relationship, and it takes organization, and it takes focus. And if you don't understand how the game is played, I mean, it's like the game of life. You got to understand it. You got to know where you're going. You got to know something. You just can't do it just to do it. And you can't be reactionary. You have to be proactive about it, and you've got to know where you're going. And you can't do it all states, all included. Martin Luther King, he didn't march in all the states all the time at the same time. He singled out, I mean, even Rosa Parks, if you listen to the history of it, they actually had an organization. They knew what they were doing. They knew who was going to sit there.
He strategically picked his battles.
Absolutely.
To get his message across.
Absolutely.
And that's why he was so effective.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but
he didn't
history
run to the hot spot.
History shows that Rosa Parks wasn't strategic in what she did. She was reactionary. Martin Luther King was not. He
Diva.
Was brought into the movement.
Diva.
Not.
Go back.
And
go back and read. Go back and read about the sit-in and what happened with Rosa Parks. She was not the first black person to decide not to move on a bus.
Exactly. She wasn't the first black person, but do you think she really was like, I'm doing this for a movement? No.
Diva,
she was fed up. She reacted
to her for the right
optics.
Diva, it was about
optics.
A plan. The Southern.
So are you saying she had planned it? Like it was a plan for her.
It was a plan of what she was going to do. It was a plan. They strategically planned this. They planned what they were going to do, how they were going to do it, and what they were going to do. Even the sit-ins at the lunch counters, they planned them. They didn't just go willy-nilly just doing what they wanted to do. It was planned. And if you don't like something, you need to know how to plan to change it.
I mean,
but what's going on right now is just insanity.
Press was notified before it happened, Diva.
Yep.
How do you think you got pictures sitting there? And they didn't drag her off by her hair and drag her down the street, Diva. And she was a little woman.
Then they were setting an example of the injustice, what it really was about.
Mm-hmm. We need to pay attention to what we do and how we do what we do. And I don't think we understand that.
They weren't crying racism.
But
I was going to say she wasn't crying racism. She was showing racism.
Absolutely. We need to have young men, and we need to change the perception of us, and we need to have a campaign that says a black man is not a thug.
I mean, this is wonderful. There you go, Tracy. I mean, you guys are talking about, well, we're our leaders. My lead, you're trying to tell people what to do. Then how about you show them actually what to do? That's a great campaign.
Tracy just informed me the other day that there are no black leaders.
And Diva, I'm actually, you don't know what I do when I go off the air.
Diva, what she's doing on the air is pretty doggone good, too.
Yeah.
You know, her station, this
programming doesn't reach a lot of the people that she's actually trying to reach.
But
let's
Diva,
just
I'm
keep
on,
it real.
But you don't know what I do when I'm not on the air.
You're right, I don't know.
And
that's
so what
the thing
I'm
trying to say is,
but you don't tell everything
I don't know
that
what
you know.
You're doing.
You don't tell everything
you,
that you're doing,
know
you don't
you're
tell
doing,
everything that you know.
How do you know what it is that everybody else is doing then?
Because I see the fruits of their
action.
And you know what? How are we going to get anywhere when we've got two women here arguing about doing something? You know, this is just to show you how bad things are. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you cannot hear. You're arguing on how to change.
Well, everybody's talking about how much power the Tea Party has, and the Tea Party has no power.
Because they're dysfunctional,
right.
too. Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, Glenn Beck parked 1 million people on the mall, And it's a flash in the pan.
No, no, no. Malcolm X put 100 black men on the mall a couple of years, 20 years ago, and it was another flash in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think what we really need to do is address the root of the problem.
Perception?
Yes. I mean, let's face it. The media keeps the races separate.
Mm-hmm.
It's their goal.
Well, for example, there was a Tea Party rally, and there was a picture of a guy holding an AR-15. They cropped the photo to show to exclude the fact that that was a black man standing there at a Tea Party rally with a rifle.
Well, that's something different.
No, it's all part of the same thing. It's trying to create propaganda to create a thought process.
And they do very well at it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But they've been perfecting this for 100 years. I mean, Woodrow Wilson started it. Woodrow Wilson started this propaganda campaign.
The one thing that the perception of the black man has denigrated long before now. I mean, black people particular, I mean, in general, we were considered lazy, not hardworking.
Diva.
So,
let's
I mean, is it just the media's
Diva.
Fault
and,
or is it society's fault? Is the media just going along with
Diva.
Diva,
I think
yeah, that's a liberal media you're doing that, Diva.
I think that perception changed right after the Civil War. Okay, because the threat that black farmers brought upon white farmers was the reason we had
sharecroppers and
yep.
Jim Crow.
Well, that's why we had Jim Crow. So the fact that they were thought of as lazy, I think that changed right after.
Well, no, they weren't lazy then. That was something different.
Yeah.
Laziness came in in the last 30, and 40 years.
Exactly.
The prevailing wage laws under FDR were all written to keep blacks out of the workforce because they worked so much harder and they were willing to work for less money.
But let me say this.
FDR. Who
FDR?
Was he? Franklin Delano, Democrat?
No.
Yeah. Communist, progressive.
But let me say this. But let me say, and David, you have to understand the mindset. You have to, and we're throwing the political name in here because you have to understand they want you to believe that one side is racist. Because I will bet you any money that if you go check the voting record of the people who are in that courtroom that are on the prosecutor's side, I will almost say a good majority of them probably are of the progressive movement. But then we have to take some ownership of what's going on with this ourselves, too. Because when you sit inside of a courtroom and the only people that are black in there are the defendants, the family, and a couple jurors, if you can get some, that's a bad way to look at things, don't you think?
Well, how does a person get on the jury? I only know one person who has actually been called and served on the jury, and that was in Mahoning County. That was my mother. I've never been called, and I vote in every election, and I've never been called to serve on the jury. I don't know any other black people who
didn't have ID. And what I'm saying to you.
Okay, so it's not
we
can do anything more to get on the jury.
Did you hear what I said? Listen, Diva, listen. Don't you see? I'm not talking about the jury. I'm talking about the judge, then the prosecutor, and the investigators, and the lawyers. The only way you got black lawyers is if you watch them on television. When I look at the picture, and I'm serious, when I look at the Mahoning County Bar Association, and there's only 3 black lawyers in there. When I look for African-Americans
to
run, because we don't take the time to go get an education to go get it.
That's not true. I mean, I would
That's
love
true,
to go to law school.
But you're not wanting to. No, Diva, you don't want to go to law school.
Tracy, I know plenty of people who've gotten their bachelor's, but when it comes to them to go to law school, they can't afford it. So they go
Diva,
into something
because
else.
they don't want to sacrifice and go get the loan.
Yeah, rather than have a movement to go down and march outside of Jackson County Courthouse, then blacks should have a movement to create a scholarship under the name of Trayvon Martin and Davis that's specific for African Americans so they can go to the law school.
And we'll actually put them through law school. And actually put them through school and not halfway through. Pay all the bills.
Absolutely.
Pay all the bills. we got enough fraternities and sororities. We got enough people that are a part of these frats and these groups that they wanted to give a dollar a month. They could put more kids through college in a little bit.
Yeah, instead of trying to change the sentiment of white folks in Florida, you know, here's another thing. White folks in Florida, if you study the Seminole Wars, you do understand maybe that's why some of the sentiments exist. But the sentiments exist. Now, it don't have to be Florida. It can be any place. You can't go into another county, another state, and try to change the sentiments of people against their wills and traditions. Then you're going to turn around and ask them to hire you. It ain't going to happen. Put in the necessary infrastructure and the systems in place where you can provide your own self-dependency as much as you possibly can, and a lot of these problems we discussed today may just go away. You know, at one time, a white person wouldn't even been brought to court, this decision here, he was found at least in violation of – he was charged with second-degree murder.
Well, I think until perceptions change, you're going to have the same results. Look what happened to Black Wall Street. They were very self-sufficient. They were on their own. They did it by themselves.
But the thing is, black during 1921, blacks had the laws to protect them. They just weren't being enforced. That court case, that decision you see now was laws being enforced. And I think that because people don't understand the law, they wasn't satisfied totally with what came out of it.
But let me say this. And Jeff, your mic is on also. This is my issue. We need to become proactive. And I keep on saying this. I mean, I have to say we got to talk about Trayvon Martin. I've got to bring him back into this equation. All that hot air, all that marching, all that screaming, all that hoodie skittle, all that kind of crazy stuff, we've been going out and buying stuff. We still did not do anything after the dust settled to change anything that you said you did not like.
Right. You could Google Trayvon Martin and scholarship fund. You ain't going to find a doggone thing out there.
Here's the other thing, Trace, and everybody, good morning. They did, not only did they not do that, you saw that only they went for what the liberals told them to go after, which is the Stand Your Ground law, which is a good law. I agree with the Stand Your Ground law, because if that means if somebody comes on my property and threatens me, I can shoot them. And I'm not going to be on somebody else's property, so I'm not worried about getting shot myself in that sense. But the thing is you have to look at things for what they're worth. And just because you said that, that's going to be one of my major emphases over this next couple of years, is to create one of those send a young black person that wants to be a professional to college. We'll do what we can do at first, and then if we can get enough to make them, stay their whole boat, then we'll do that. But we got to find a way to stop this stuff.
But this is my issue. I don't want a young black woman to go to college. I want a young black man.
I want a young black person.
Not black person, black male.
Okay.
See, I want to incentivize black men to go to school and get an education. But they can't do that unless you got an education system that's going to care about their education. And right now, we don't even care about the Board of Education, because we don't even go out and vote and or run for the local boards of education so that they can graduate, so they can go to law school.
Wouldn't it be smart to incentivize the possible or future mothers of these young black boys boys to give them role models?
I am sick of mamas trying to be the leaders of the free world. I need some testosterone that's going to actually do something. And that's actually elevating another black woman to go have another baby to do absolutely nothing means absolutely nothing. Right?
She might not elevate another black woman to go have a baby. Tracy, I'm just going to be quiet.
Diva, I don't think a woman could change the perception of white America's opinion on black males.
Yeah.
It's not
only
about
black male can do that.
It's about we are
only
the ones who are birthing these young boys,
Tracy,
and raising these young boys.
We need to put the power back into the hands of a man.
Diva, you cannot teach a boy to be a man. You are a woman. I am sorry. That is reality. You cannot do that. Only his daddy can do that, or a positive, strong black man. You cannot do that.
I get what you're saying, but the fact is there are a lot of these black boys come up in single-parent households with mothers who don't feel care and power.
Black women need to put the – if you want to – listen, let me say it this way. If you want to know what's wrong with the perception of a black man, go ask a black woman.
Oh, yes.
Because if you want to know what's wrong with our black men, I promise you it's our black women who have done this to them. We have wussified the black man.
Only a child, only a black boy's father can teach you how to be a man, period.
Do white people talk about male versus female in a context that black people talk about male versus female?
Diva,
Diva, white women, on average, do not emasculate their males the way I've seen black women do it.
Thank you, Styx. Thank you, Styx.
And yeah, I came in just in time. Boy, do I agree. They do emasculate. That's the truth.
Were you on Naima's show?
Look at all these Chris Browns, sissy type.
No, I just sound like
I wasn't on that.
All sissy type R&B boys out there, where do you think they get it from?
Only a mama is going to let their boys go out, busting a sag and buy it and talk about he's cute with it, send him into a pit, and then get mad when he gets shot.
Thank you.
Because a strong black man is going to make his boy pull up his pants, go get a job, and do something about it. But no, we've kicked the black man out of the house, and then we want to know what's wrong with our community.
I don't allow
them. Yeah, they're not making respect
to the house now. Okay. They just don't ever, they've never decided to be in the house, but wanted to play house and got themselves in a situation they can't handle, so they walk away. That's the reality.
No, Diva, we throw men out the house than they ever came in the house. Because remember, we raised these young boys to be punks in our house because we allowed their father to not be a part of their lives.
And if I may add, it's with help from the government.
All right, okay.
And whatever happened to there ain't no milk. You ain't getting no milk till you buy the cow.
That sounds good, Stick.
If you're wearing skinny jeans in my house, you better be a woman.
I mean,
that's all I got to say.
That's the basis of all this problem, Diva, and this person that is talking about this. Think of it, back in the 60s, before civil rights was passed and a Great Society program started, you had a black woman of childbearing age more likely to be married with children with a man in the house than you did in the 70s. What has happened? You have a law that said if you're going to get assistance, that the man cannot be anywhere near the house. And they actually had people come check to see if there was any men's clothing in your house.
I get that, Jeff. I understand. I understand it back then.
You don't get that if you don't see that.
No, I get that, but that's not the case. Since 1993, that has not been the case. You do not no longer have to worry about a man being in your house to get assistance.
Listen for a second. It got worse since 1993 because you conditioned a whole generation of men to not take care of their children. The welfare would do it. And that was all
about
it.
Basically, you have a whole generation of weak-minded men who
Hold on, guys. Because Eric, you know, let me tell you why you have a whole generation of weak-minded men, because they were raised by mamas and not by their daddy. And the reason why you got a bunch of crazy women is because they were raised by their mothers and their father was not there to instill to keep your legs closed.
It swings both ways.
When the mill closed, my grandfather was laid off. My grandmother asked him to leave the house so she could benefit so she could feed her kids. They had about 6-7 kids still left in the house. He told her, no, I'm not going nowhere. We're going to work this out. So you mean, so I look at my grandfather and I say, that was a strong man. Even though they had some hard, rough times, he stayed because he knew that's where he needed to be. So you mean tell me no other man could make that decision for his family?
Listen, your grandfather came from a time when men did take care of their children. And so therefore he was able to make that decision.
In this day and age, all it would have taken was a phone call from your grandmother to the police saying he threatened to hit me, and then he's in jail.
Okay, but we're not talking about this generation. We're talking about the generation that walked out and created the generation we have now.
There was not a generation that walked out.
Tracy,
there was a generation
you
that
just
was put out.
Told me
they
it
were,
was that welfare
were,
program that allowed men to be kicked out of their homes.
They were never taught to stay.
You know what the final shot in that war was?
They were put out. A lot of them did not walk out. They were put out because I don't need you anymore.
Wait, they were conditioned not to stay from the beginning.
Our babies need to eat. You got to go so I get the system. Get the system.
You
got to
understand.
Hold on, Eric.
My mindset as a woman.
I'm Alabama, but go ahead.
Hold on. You got to understand my mindset as a woman. My mindset as a woman was to take on this European mindset of the feminist movement. I don't need a man.
Well, I think the sexual revolution was a revolutionary war against the black family.
It was a revolutionary war.
Every family.
It was during the Virginia Slam era.
I don't know any black women in the 60s and the 70s who, as a collective, took on that mantle.
Diva, we do it every day just by our actions, because we're good at telling somebody, you know what, you're no good. I don't need you.
Diva, hold on, Pianki,
and I'll be quiet. Do you realize when we tell a man that we don't need him, it happened because society began to elevate me and not hire him. So now I make more money than you. I can get a job before you. I can do this without you.
I can get an abortion without you.
There's so much I can do without you. So listen, if you think that you're coming here to be the head of this household, let me tell you something. I wear the pants just like you.
And legally you do.
The mental mindset that goes on in the psyche of this is not good for family building.
When you turn 18, get out of my house because I'm not getting any more money for you.
The point I was trying to make a minute ago was that in the 70s, you had this black lady. She wrote a book. Her name's Bell Hooks. A lot of these sisters, they use her as their example. And also, the black community is ran. It's a matriarch right now. It's really just being ran by women. And under their leadership, we have what we have. I mean, they've been running the black community. For years. So, I mean, this is not something I would be proud of. There's nothing, they're always bragging about being strong. And under your quote-unquote leadership, the communities fell apart. So that needs to change. It needs to be. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that, but women don't build. You're not builders. Men are. Women are nurturers. There's certain things that they have that we don't have that we need. We both need the same energy that you have. You need men. But if you go one side, one way, you're going to get what we have today, which is a totally destroyed, feminized community with guys walking around looking like penguins with their pants hanging down around the ankles, gun there. They got, all of them want to act like they thugs, want to fight every time you look them in their face. That's the product of women. I'm sorry, whether they want to admit that or not, this is what black women have brought us.
Wait a minute. Black women can't raise a boy to a man. Okay, I get that. I completely understand that. You're right. I can never get a young boy to understand the mindset of what it takes to me.
Your daughter can't be raised right without a father either. I don't want to hear that come out. Well, a woman can, because if your daughter has not been around a man, she going to wind up in a strip club, or she going to be around here dating guys trying to get them to replace her daddy.
I was raised without a father, and I didn't end up, none of my sisters end up in a straight strip club, so thank you very much.
I listened to some of your conversation.
Back to my point. I get that you're saying a woman can't raise a man. But what I am seeing from my perspective, now I grew up in a matriarch dominant family. Half of my aunts were married, half of, and then ended up divorced, separated. Half of them were single mothers, including my mother. But what I saw coming up in the communities that you guys are, that has this biggest problem, is that these young men have no fathers because the fathers decided that for whatever reason that was too much responsibility on them. So you have women who are trying
Diva,
to...
Diva, can you stop that? Stop, Diva,
let
that's a mess. Stop it with the whole black men
let
just want to run
finish.
From their kids.
Let you
Go
finish.
Ahead.
Let me finish. The fact is, you guys are saying, okay, the 60s, 70s, I get that. But you have men who came from a different culture, different background, who decided to be weakened by a system and walk away. And even if you're separated, you don't have to live with the mother to be a part of your child's life. So how is it because you're not in a home, you decide you're just going to walk away? So then you created a generation of men who learned to just walk away and stay away.
Okay, well, hold on, Diva. Let me jump on that, Diva.
The women created that.
Also, yeah, Diva, you choose the guy you date. You created you the woman. You choose the type of men you date. You want to date a dusty thug that has his pants hanging around his butt because he got swag, then you're probably going to get left hanging. That's what's going to happen, and that's what has happened.
Here's the fact is, I get that. That's on the woman. She's raising her child alone, but should it not be on the man that, I don't care if you didn't want to be with this woman, that's still your child.
No.
You still have a
child.
He's not there, so how he turns up is on you.
That's what I'm saying, dude. I mean, I'm talking about everything in all of the institutions in the black community. They're run by black women, so you are the leader. And look, and it sucks. Okay, and I guarantee you, if you flipped it, hold on, we will be lacking some things. Listen, we'll be lacking some things. If I wouldn't say we'd lack anything if men ran our community and our society, because men run Asian communities, and look how it looks. Men run the other community; they respect their men, and look at what happens. Y'all are the only ones that's screaming independent. You don't hear no white. You don't hear nobody else screaming that mess but y'all. The feminists did that a few years in the 70s, and they stopped. But black women been doing it, and they destroyed it. Destroyed the family. Destroyed it.
Yeah, they sitting back watching. Y'all keep on doing it.
Then you got the government. As soon as any black thug you date does anything you don't like, you calling the police on them. So it's kind of the government. You want to use the government to beat them down.
Who has a low opinion of me as a black woman? I'm not going to do it. The first things that come out your mouth is you have problems with the black women. Is but I'm not going to be bothered with you because you already have a low opinion of me to begin with.
Well,
so why would I subject myself to
No. See, that's the problem right there. As soon as guys start analyzing the community, black women want to say you hate all of us. There are good black women out here. I've dated a few of them.
So don't just say that. Because there's few black women that understand, okay, I want my man to run the house. I'm going to let him be the leader. Yes, I'm going to be a woman. Yes, I have a strong personality. But I'm still, when it comes to leadership, I want to be led. I've had women tell me that. So that's a different situation. So don't just say that for every black woman.
If you dated them, then how come you're not married to one of them?
Well, there's 50 million reasons why. That don't mean nobody's going to perfect. Every dating situation is perfect.
I'm just saying because I'm trying to figure out, it seemed like to me that black sisters are tired of being left on the wayside. We're single, especially when we're good women. We work hard. We take care of our men. We work. Y'all, on one hand, black sisters don't want to take care of their men, but on the second hand, that's all they do is take care of men laid upon them. I'm confused.
Wait a minute. Why are you always attracted to white men?
I can't. I'm not just attracted to white men. I'm attracted to who's attracted to me. And for some reason, the white men don't have a problem approaching me.
My
ex-husband is a black man. And the reason why he became my husband is because he approached
why
me.
Why come your
he
ex-husband?
Became friends. So
you can't keep a husband?
Approach me. But black men, I've heard black men tell me all the time, I look like I'm going to tell them no. I look like I'm unavailable. So you know what? Well, if you're going to make that assumption,
but
then I'm
not.
What
did
you
do? You know why they're afraid to touch you? The reason they're afraid is because they've been raised by women and they're afraid of rejection.
But what did you do to
your ex-husband
for him to leave you?
He didn't leave. What?
What did you do to your ex-husband for him to leave you?
he didn't leave me. I left him, and that's a personal matter that I'm not going to get into on the radio.
Oh, but you want to tell me why I ain't married? Get
no, because I'm trying to figure out why do you guys have this negative view of black women, and that's
I
all
don't
I hear
have a look. Let me.
I don't have that view.
Diva, you got me mixed up. You got me mixed up. Black women, when they are got their mind right, are great. Okay, or to me, I ain't gonna get into that. I prefer black women physically over any woman on this earth. So let's not get into that. What I'm talking about is that mentality of a lot of sisters, because if you know, these women always say, how many brothers are gay, locked up? They always do that thing like they did on that ABC special. If you take the women that just got funky attitudes, if you just take the women with funky attitudes out, you got about 95% of black women with funky attitudes. The other 5%, when they smile, it's men beating their door down trying to talk to them. They got men around the corner.
There is a lot the black woman has to deal with.
Y'all don't have to deal with as much as we do.
All you have to deal with is being a black male.
What?
Being a black male. But sisters have to carry a lot of weight.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy. Diva.
Lord,
it is 40 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on the SLM. Tomorrow, Jeff and I will be here. I'm going to come in a little late. I'm going to leave a little early, but I'll be here somewhere along the way. Here's the number 347-945-5229. And I got Sticks and Ben in studio with me. And we were talking about the Florida case where the young man with the loud music went and shot the young black man because he said he was scared. He saw a gun, and then he went down the street and took a bath and all that kind of crazy stuff. And he was convicted of second-degree murder. For two counts of second degree murder and one count of a firearm violation.
Well, 3 counts of attempted second degree murder,
second degree murder.
3 counts of second degree murder. And 1 count of a firearm violation.
Into a vehicle.
Diva just made a point about black women don't have it as bad as black men. I mean, black women have it better, harder than black men. And I'm sitting like, when has it ever been easy? Hold on, let me finish. When has it ever been easy? You can kill a black man. It's all you have to do is say, I fear for my life. And it's actually a valid, like with George Zimmerman, all he said, I was afraid of this guy. He's a thug. And that's it. And everybody just went with it. You can't say that about black men. That's what I'm saying. So, that's just one area.
That.
That's one arena.
Have you met?
You just said that it's easy. It's harder for y'all than it is for us.
Black men have it hard. I'm not, and I didn't say. I didn't say you had it hurt worse to black men, but I said black women do carry a lot on them. That's what I said.
Diva. The reason why, listen, and the number 347-945-5229. The reason why black women have it hard, and the reason why black men have it hard. Is because of we have left our natural order. We have left our support system. We've taken on a family identity that we are not prepared for. And we think that we can do anything without anyone else's help on both sides. If you want to know what's wrong with our community, it's because we no longer have a family. We no longer have grandma and grandpa. We no longer have brothers and sisters. We no longer have husbands and wives. We no longer have mothers and fathers. We no longer take responsibility for our children. And those women who are doing their best, and this is not to knock single mothers. This is not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is our society has put us into an organism. Or an organization, or an outline, where we do not have the male support, and the male support does not have the female support, and so we keep on weakening our males, and we keep on strengthening our females.
And this is all by design.
We say this is a
that's
black.
That's because black girls rock, Tracy, and little black boys don't.
Saying, And that's what I'm saying. You're right, Eric. And that's what we tell people. Black girls rock. And I don't need a man. And what we've done is we've pressed our young ladies into becoming men. And we have coddled our young boys into becoming wusses.
And it's becoming to a suburb near you.
And it's absolutely.
I just saw some stats this weekend that more and more college-educated women are marrying non-college-educated men.
We don't and
across the board.
It's not about your education. It's about your testosterone and your estrogen.
Just watch the TV commercials nowadays. All they show is men looking like buffoons all day.
Even television shows, commercials, everything. The last
Homer
strong
Simpson.
Husband was John Walton.
And he died.
That was Homer Simpson.
He died this week.
And what I'm saying to you is we want to know why our young men are getting killed. We want to know why our black men are being portrayed as thugs.
A black
man who is in the home, and when I say this, I'm talking about strong black men. I'm not talking about the one who just comes and follows his wife around like a crazy man. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about men, who are husbands, and who are fathers.
You want to know what opened my eyes to this subject? The Cosby Show in the 80s was not permitted to be shown in South Africa.
But African-Americans didn't like it when it first came on because they said it wasn't real.
And in South Africa, the whites that were in control didn't want them to show a strong black professional.
Go ahead, Eric.
But Homer Simpson's just fine, though, you know?
Yep.
I mean, and we need to understand, so if you want to know what's wrong with our laws, with our organization, and with where we're going, with how we're doing, look at what's going on here. Even if a man cheated on his wife, he never brought his mistress into his home, and now we've got loving on Mary Jane or whatever the crap that is, and the Housewives of Atlanta, and you got Scandal and all this kind of crazy stuff, and we're looking at it as though it's entertainment. This is coming to a home near you.
Well, Tracy, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Black women have been free for a long time, as long as they coddle to a, and I'm not saying this from a racist point, but from a white, as long as they coddle to a system of white supremacy or white, if they do that,
a white society.
Black women have had, if you go back 200 years ago in slavery, black women that was like that bought into that system, a guy told me a lot of the done overseers was fat, heavy black women with funky attitudes. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, man, you might have a point. Because if a sister today can have 5 and 6 kids and barely can take care of them and have to depend on the government, she's a strong woman. A brother have 5 and 6 kids and barely can take care of them, he's a lazy, sorry, trifling. You know what else?
That's a good point.
Hold on. Alabama.
That's a good point.
Listen to this. Listen to what I'm saying. And hear me out. I have an uncle and an aunt. And I'm going to give out his name. His name is Charlie Caffey. He was over in Warren. And Charlie Caffey was a big baseball guy. And Uncle Charlie married a school teacher. And I didn't realize, we were talking later on in life, Uncle Charlie, when they got married, he couldn't read. He was not as educated as my aunt. And she went to work every day while he went to the steel mill. But he came home at night, and she taught him how to read, and she taught him how to do checkbooks, and she taught him how to function as a manager inside of the home. And after a little while, he became astute and began to read. He was a big baseball guy. And so he got to the point where he superseded her in finances so that she no longer had to work. And she could quit her job, and he could go and be the total breadwinner. And he learned how to read. And she helped him, and he listened to her so that they could get to where they were going. In today's society, that's not what we do.
That sounds an awful lot like the Proverbs 31 woman.
Absolutely. And that's not what we do anymore. We don't follow that kind of paradigm. We don't support our men, and our men don't listen to us. Because even if I have been free, if a man and a woman should have a conversation with one another to where, let me get to where I need to go, and then I'm going to pull you into where I am so that we can advance together. That's not what we're doing today. right now, I come in, and if you are not as intellectually as solvent as I am, I will beat you down. I have no respect for the black man. And the black man no longer has asked any kind of respect for the black woman because he does not listen to her. Sometimes you need to listen to your wife and to your girlfriend and say, you know what, maybe she knows about this, and why don't we work together as a team so that we can advance our family? That's not how this is working. And because it's not working, because we no longer have respect for one another, we are where we are, and our children are being shot in the streets. Our girls are prostituting themselves in every Tom, Dick, and Harry's bed, and we wonder what's wrong with our society.
Can I ask a silly question? How come married couples that the husband's calling the wife a B and an H are lauded? Why is that?
Because we've accepted
prominent it. Married couples.
Because we've accepted it. We accept being mediocre. We accept being demonized. We accept being beat up every day because we think that's life. We accept Valentine's Day when you send me your flowers, but you beat me on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We accept being raped every day by society because we're conditioned to do that because we watch it on television. And we wonder what's wrong with our laws.
Well, how can you have a stable legal system when the people are just crazy?
That's what I'm saying, and it's the people that are making the laws
are playing crazy. Absolutely. There's no argument there.
So we're mad at the
man. I find it interesting.
I
find it interesting. You can literally kill someone an unarmed innocent person. You can kill them. I was threatened. I'm in the airport now. I can go start with a guy, just like the guy that ran over the motorcycle guy. He felt threatened. Ran this guy over. And now, you know, they press charges against the guys for jumping on him. I'm sitting like, I mean,
Alabama,
he probably got away with it.
Alabama, I don't respect you and neither does society. So I can say whatever I choose. And because you have not changed the laws, because you have not gotten the education to change the laws, because you have not gotten inside the system to change the laws, they are the way they are. You look at the media and who controls it, and you wonder why they shape you the way they do. When's the last time you saw an African-American man who was a strong father on a television program?
Look, I was just in Disney World. I was just in Disney World yesterday. They're selling a gay homosexual. They got the Mickey Mouse head emblem, and it's all like the gay stripes. It's all over, like it's all in the stores over in Disney World.
We emasculating the woman and the man now. We don't care. That's what I'm saying to you. And so we're looking at this thing. You're talking about you're killing four black boys? Who cares about their life? You haven't done anything to change the laws about it. We talk about Zimmerman. What in the world have they done between Zimmerman and now to change anything?
In order to change the laws, you have to embrace free enterprise and business, and then you can buy these policies. You got to have some money.
You got to have organization.
You just said that last week. You just said that last week when Jason Black was on. You said you agree. Now you don't.
I said to you, you don't have to have money. You have to have organization. Organization will bring you money. Alabama, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. Look at how many fraternities and sororities are in this country. Look at how many people who are a part of these organizations. I will bet you that we have at least 1 million people who are a part of.
Alabama, listen to what I'm saying.
I will bet you we have at least 1 million African Americans who are a part of a fraternity and a sorority in this country.
That's all Greek to me.
I'm talking just black fraternities and sororities. I want
probably
you to tell me. Okay, hold on. Let's use $1 million for easy numbers. Because I don't want it, guys. I'm stupid and I can't count that high. If we put $1 million and say every day, once a month, just for each, we're going to take a dollar and send it into an organization to do scholarships and political activism. in our nation. You got 12. You got $1 million. I said 1 million people, right? That's $1 million. That's $12 million a year. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
You mean to tell me? You mean to tell me with $12 million a year we can't change some things?
Yeah, you can make a drop in the bucket. That's about
okay,
it.
So what if we took a dollar? Because remember, all these people right now, most of them have very, very good jobs.
You're making a point
that
you're just going to keep going, keep going, keep going.
No. But because listen to what I'm saying. You said that we need to have money. I'm telling you, we got the money. We don't have the organization.
Look, if you look at politics, you study like the way it got Machiavelli, the prince, the way they think. This is a political chess game. So if I'm a guy, I'm one person, I got $200 million. You do your little $12 million. We playing chess. I'm going to win out every time. But if you come
Alabama,
in
you ain't,
and you,
I'm,
and you
I'm,
got
– Alabama, you talking off the side of your neck. I say it.
No, I'm not.
More, listen, you got 12 – like you got 1 million people. Just 1 million people that are a part of a fraternity and sorority. The majority of them have been to college because you got to pledge. You got to be in college to pledge. They can give me $30 a month. So that's $1 million. That's $12 million a day times 30. Start calculating it out. But the problem is not that we don't have the money. We don't have the organization. We got the money.
Look,
yeah,
I never say
Tracy,
I never argue with you.
Yeah,
you make $1.1 trillion a year. I won't argue with that. What I'm saying
is that people should be collecting money to make political changes in Arizona? People in Chicago collected money to make political changes in Arizona. I mean, that's meddling. I could go with the scholarships, but lead the political changes and even some social changes too to the people of that particular state. When do state sovereignty rule?
So why don't you just do it by the state right now? Heck, why don't you just do it by the city?
Look, you got enough black people right now. You got enough black people. I'm in Montgomery, Alabama. Greg Calhoun makes the Black Enterprises list every year. This dude's worth $200 million by himself. Black guy, grocery store owner, one of the few in the country. You can't get him to do that. He won't do nothing like this.
But my
so, I mean, we talk, we just
why?
Talk, we just blowing hot air.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. You said that, we got to have money. We got the money. It ain't like we don't have it.
Oh, every time, let me tell you something, a lot of black people right now are afraid because when this was done by people in the past,
Alabama,
they were attacked.
Oh, let me talk.
Listen, I'm telling you, they are afraid. People have been attacked by the government. When you start, name one celebrity. Why do you think Oprah and all these celebrities are athletes
Alabama,
flying overseas doing stuff in Africa? They won't do
Alabama,
it in America.
They
all
ain't
right,
afraid. They ain't afraid. Why
yes,
we got
they
to
are.
Be afraid? Martin Luther King was
afraid
to take a bullet and took one.
I'm not saying
tell
we. I'm saying they are.
No, I'm talking about just everyday Joes. I ain't talking about Oprah Winfrey. I don't care nothing about Oprah because if Oprah cared, Oprah would do better.
Oprah
I don't care
got
about
the
none
money.
Of them
Oprah
thugs
buying
money.
Cars for
you
all
would,
the crowd.
I don't need
she
a
got
car.
The money.
I don't need. She don't care.
She
if she cared,
okay.
she would do better.
Cars being made it.
I'm Sorry, telling you now, these people in these positions are afraid. I'm just telling you.
And what I'm saying to you is, why do I care about people who are afraid? There are enough of us who are not afraid.
Okay, then. I'm just telling you.
But
you're
who cares
like
about the
just,
people that are afraid?
All we need to do is take a dollar. People, first of all, folks ain't going to take a dollar and do that. They're just not.
So,
black people.
Alabama,
most of them
why you keep on telling me? You're
go
just
ahead.
Talking hot air. You're just blowing smoke. You always talk
no,
about
not.
We got to have money. We got the money.
Tracy, I understand. I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying what people are going to do and what their tendencies are. And I'm blowing hot
so
air.
Why in the heck are we sitting there having a conversation about a white man killing four boys like we care? Because we really
I'm
don't give a rat's butt.
My thing is, I take action. I'm one person. I'm one person, and I take action. I don't just
Alabama,
call this show and
I'm
talk
gonna
and then go
do another
other
phone call. We just talking, and we need to go start talking about being happy for it, Pharrell Williams, and start talking about football, baseball, and basketball, and how to go get something else. Because right now,
Tracy,
all we're doing
want no
is sitting up here talking.
You
and okay, Jeff, go ahead and get on this. You, Jeff, and Pianchi to get on this scholarship thing, so I can be y'all's first recipient.
We don't care. We just fucking hot
you
air.
You know what? That
if we
that
care, we do
funding,
better.
That That new thing called crowdfunding seems to be working real well, though, Tracy. You ever heard of that, have you?
Yeah, I have. 646, your mic is on.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm good. The emotion that we have in the conversation is a well-placed one because what we face is so seemingly insurmountable that each of us handles it in a different way. And so all of you, like just like me, we all have our heart in the right place. The thing now is to put the brain power behind the emotion, because our children are being destroyed, our men are being destroyed, and our women are being destroyed. I think at the core is that we have bought into the European and Saudi Arabian systems, and we then go through their educational and other philosophical systems, their economic systems, but then we try to find conclusion and solutions from the same enemy problem. And I think it will take, while we simultaneously synchronize to make money off their system because we got to pay the piper and pay the rent or the mortgage, we come together in small groups and invest and open schools or just say, hey, let's collect some cans together and make the donations. So right here on this line, there are people who have ideas, and we should work with it because the system really isn't structured for us, and if we don't make the changes now, we're doomed to be wiped out like many other folks. I don't know if you all noticed, but in many native lands, darker people are disappearing. If you look at Hawaii, their last queen was a dark sister. Now you look at Hawaii, and the complexion has drastically changed. So I think we're being bred out, we're being shot out, we're being sexed out, we're being GMO food out, we're being malaria-ized out, and it's a tragedy.
I'll be right back. You listen.
Oh, wow. Hey, Jeff. Jeff.
Hi, maybe he...
Hey, caller, where are you
away.
Calling from?
From New York City, helping so much going on with my family, divorces, people going to jail, folks getting degrees, other folks can't get degrees, and children in drastic situations, family members that have millions of dollars watching those that are on food stamps suffer. So the challenges are both interpersonal, intrapersonal. On every level, our people, from our immediate families to our extended black and brown families, you know, we're in bad trouble. And something drastic
From your perspective, what do you see the problem as far as African Americans not really systematically helping each other? Where do you think that comes from, and why do you think it's still being continued today?
It comes from our mindset. Here's what I mean. If we have an associate's, most of us think we're better than those with a GED or a high school diploma. If we have an associate's from a community college, we think we're not as good as those from an Ivy League, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Similarly, from a religious perspective, we have various divisions, skin color, and as we could tell by this discussion here, sex, male versus female. So what happens is the slave master just has to sit back and wait for us to pick the cotton because we just won't come together. For all of us on this line right now to come together on one thing and put a dollar together and do it, we'll probably negotiate forever. And I'm including myself in that because we all have this problem. Somehow we have to get to the point where we say, you know what, all our differences, even the gay issue. To me, I don't care who's sleeping with who because I don't know who's straight or gay in the first place. I'm not there to see how they're getting down. Half the people that say they're straight are gay, half that say they're gay are straight. A lot of our heroes were gay or had gay advisors. So the gay issue to me is imperial thinking. I think we need to say, screw all the nonsense. what are we going to do? If you're a gang member, if you're gay, straight, if you sleep with chickens, we don't give a rat's booty. If you got no money, no degree, you got a PhD, you're a celebrity, how can we come together? That's the big question. The problem is our mindset.
Well,
we all think we're better than each other. And so men will fight women.
People come together. People come together on ideas. To say black folks are not together is really not accurate, because you look at the population centers that exist around the country. You do have predominantly black populations, which are economic markets. But black people are different. All blacks in this country are not the same. There's a difference between black and adjected black African-American. The thing is to find a common cause, a common idea, and come together around that.
Brother, the foundation of your statement is inaccurate. You're saying black people come together around the country. We also came together around the plantation, and we didn't work together generally. We're not together in the hood because, hey, we love it. We're here because the cost is right, and because in many other communities we're unable to get access to the real estate market, whether it's the cash through banking, et cetera. So to say we're together, then your next position could be, oh, we're together because we want to be together. Is that the case? No.
Well, Somalis in Minnesota created their own Sharia banking, which provides interest-free loans for businesses and homes. So apparently they circumvented that excuse that we say that we can't get this and we can't get that. When it comes down to lending, yes, I know there's a lot of obstacles, but some of them are well-founded. Jackson, Mississippi is what, 75% black? State of Mississippi, 37% black, with 18 counties on the west and east side of the Mississippi River, which is at least 70% black. How much more togetherness do you want than that? Then if you don't want to come together for economic reasons, then it's going to really get complicated, because when it comes down to social issues, everybody is not on the same table.
So, Pianchi,
so what are
let me
you
ask
suggesting?
You a question. Okay, where I live, the homes run from anywhere between $130,000 to $180,000, okay? Now, say a group of people decided that they wanted to create economic freedom so that black people can start buying homes. They create a bank in the inner city of Columbus for African Americans to be able to take these loans. Now, do you think that they'll be able to give those African-Americans a loan that is on par to so that they can move out of the hood and move into the suburban areas that the loans probably won't cover?
Well, you know, I wouldn't even get involved. I let the government.
So they can be homeowners where they're at.
If I had discretionary funds, I wouldn't put them toward that effort. I let the government handle that. How are you going to compete against Fannie Mae and Sallie Mae with your own private money? If you're going to produce a bank, produce a Sharia bank where there's no interest whatsoever. It comes by way of fees. And, you know, the caller from New York, I'm very surprised. You sound like you're – I don't know what your ethnicity is, but you say you got some millionaire family members who are letting other family members exist on food stamps. That sounds very, very odd.
Yeah,
that's
it is
not
odd.
Odd.
And
that's
it's
not
a mindset.
Odd.
I mean,
could I ask, are you originally from the United States?
You don't even go into a football
game. I'm a black brother, but I'm not originally from here. I just have a different accent, but the experience is the same all around the world wherever our people are. If you go to my part of the world, it will be the same experience. I think the government do something.
Let me interject
something.
Okay, sorry. Hold on.
I got to come back up. I want to say, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM, and we're on iHeartRadio, we're on Blog Talk Radio, and we are on 600WSOM.com and TracyandFriends.com. And we are broadcasting everywhere anyone will listen. But I want people to understand, this shouting at the moon and thinking it's going to move is not going to work. And there is, if we don't start looking at the root of the problem, we will never solve the fruit of a thing. And we're seeing our young black men not get treated respectively. Yet we applaud everything that they do that's negative. Everything in life, if you play sports, for those of us who are sports fans, there is a playbook. And that playbook is very, very intense. And the better the playbook, the better the team. You cannot just go and shout at the moon and go out there and just start marching and think you're going to get something done. Because people, the system itself is working against you at every odd. And you have to understand that. When we talk about politics here, you guys, do you guys think this way and you don't understand? Everybody needs health care. But what good is health care if you can't afford to get good quality health care? So you're paying premiums and deductibles and you still don't have anything. So all it's doing is putting money into an insurance company's pocket. Yet they have lobbyists, and those lobbyists are working on their behalf and not on yours. You have school districts, and they have unions. Those unions are not working on your behalf, and nor on your children's behalf. Yet you have a school board that you're not paying attention to. So your children are not graduating to where they can go into a competitive field and actually get through college and get out on the other side. You got mayors and city council who are not working in your favor.
But, Tracy, if you really look at the history of the black community, there was a guy who came along by the name of Marcus Garvey who had people that did specifically what you're talking about, it was more than just a dollar. These people, this guy had a lot of money. He was doing the Black Star Line. And the government rose up. That's why I believe in reparations. The government rose up and struck this and made sure that they disrupted all the way up through into the 70s. They were doing all types of stuff. So to look at people now, and that's the thing with a lot of foreigners when they come over here, they say, oh, you Americans, it's your mind. It's just... And to a certain extent, I agree. And I do have to give credit to the fact that the government has specifically targeted the black community and done specific things for disruption, for the way you see it is now, namely the Great Society, welfare state stuff, all these different programs. A lot of this stuff was targeted. And you can find different sayings where these people were saying that's what they were going to do. In fact, homosexuality was another one that they're using. And it's just stuff is done on purpose. So I agree that we can organize and stuff, but I think there are places where we are organized. I believe in power numbing, like Dr. Claude Anderson. I do believe
if
you're
going to
control and get some power, you've got to control economics.
Alabama, let me say this.
Him because he said something about folks, foreigners coming here and making statements about the mindset, and it's very insulting to me because I'm a foreigner on the line. And so you infect.
I don't even know you. Hold on, let me say something.
You don't have to
hung
know
up
me,
the phone.
Let me,
hold
no,
on.
I'm talking.
I hung
so
up
let
the phone.
Hold on. Let me finish, Alabama.
That's okay,
finish.
But I'm talking now. So even if you didn't know me or weren't referring to me, I do have the opportunity to refer because I am that person. I am that man. Now, when I make a statement like the mind, it is such a valid point because without the central nervous system interacting through our peripheral nervous system and moving us in different ways, whether consciously or subconsciously, nothing occurs. So it is really a mind game. Now, I am not indicating, and never did I say that the government is not playing into our mindset, nor that COINTELPRO isn't killing us and didn't destroy the Black Panthers, nor that the slave master didn't whoop us, rape us, and pillage all over our nations. What I'm saying, though, is that if we had our minds right, what we would realize is that as they are attacking us and raping us and committing genocide, we could find the love for each other to say, you know, but here are some strategies that we could use, like Frederick Douglass did, to overcome, whether it's in 1 minute or 10 years.
Let me say this to you, Alabama. This is when I first started out, and this is what I and I may be wrong all the way. My fundamental foundation is built upon. I'm tired of seeing black men dying for nothing. This is where I started at least 25 years ago, and this is where I am today. I'm tired of seeing black men go into our prison systems and our black women go into our prison systems for nothing. So if I'm going to go to jail, if I'm going to go to prison, I'm going to go for something. And if I'm going to die, I'm going to die for a cause. Because people before me, whether it be Marcus Garvey, whether it be Malcolm X, whether it be the blood that was shed through the Jim Crow and through the Ku Klux Klan, the hangings and the lynchings, no matter who it is, they died for a cause so that I can do what I do today. And so I don't mind dying for a cause. If I can save another black man and a black woman for dying for nothing. But we need to quit allowing our new leaders and these people who speak on soapboxes and say that they want to be politically correct and they want to be politically astute and they want to be they want to be their political leaders and they want to represent you, to go and represent you for a dollar and not willing to stand for anything. And we need to open up our eyes to realize in every state of the union, we have people who look like us, who talk like us, who act like they like us, and they sell us out every day.
Mm-hmm.
We applaud them and we give them our money, whether it be Oprah Winfrey or whether it be Kanye West or whether it be Beyonce. The reason why they are where they are is because we give them our money. Yet we will not give our money to our young people. And we need to really, really take a good look at ourselves, because what's happening is we do not understand that we are going backwards, going nowhere. And Claude Anderson, I love what he said, and I agree. And hold on, I agree with a lot that the Powernomics has to do. But the militant black man will never advance in America again. So that you understand that. And what they do is they create a Powernomics. Claude Anderson creates, he may be right twice a day. He talked about having fisheries long time ago. I agree with that. A broke clock is right twice a day. There's a lot of things about money I agree with when he says it. But there's a reason why he is not paramount in the lives of conversations in black America today. There's a reason why that the Telecommunications Act shut down all of your African-American radio stations and television stations across this country. There's a reason why you don't have a national newspaper.
Tracy, you're going to go on a rant for 30 minutes, ain't you?
It's called Tracy and Friends.
I
pay for the time long enough.
I know. It's your show.
Enough so that you understand this.
Yes, ma'am.
I sacrifice a lot every day. And if you guys knew what I put up with and what I sacrificed to do to make this happen every day, I can take the time to rant and rave about black blood being spilled across the streets, because I'm really tired of listening to a lot of crazy black folks talking about a lot of nonsense that don't mean a hill of beans, that when it comes to the end of the matter, they still will not be at the polls on May the 6th here in Ohio and across this country. They won't be in there in November, and they won't get anybody inside of the legislature representing themselves. They won't have any better education systems, and they will still lay down tonight and make a baby that they cannot take care of.
Okay.
True.
Can
and
I make
I'm
my point,
just
Tracy?
About fed up about it. And I'm serious right. about this. I'm watching people throw away more money after program after program, and you got a black man in the White House who could care less about another black boy dying. Because if
True.
He did, he'd do something about it. And I'm not talking about giving a speech.
True. 100%
Now, Trump is going to have a show tonight. He's going to rant and rave about stand your ground. If you don't like stand your ground, then change the law. He don't want to change the law. He just want a paycheck so he can make another bill.
True. And I'm right there.
I'm tired of it.
A few blocks away.
I'm tired of it because we're dying.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm going to take the liberty today to say it because it's been on my mind for the last 24, 48 hours. And I've been saying it for the last 7 years straight. And we're looking at people who could care less about it. O.J. Simpson, mm-hmm. he didn't want to be black. That's why he is where he is. For some reason, we get a little money in our pocket and we think we're no longer African-American and we no longer are responsible for our own people. So we don't take care of our babies, even when we have the money to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what New York was saying, mindset.
But
yep.
Tracy, Now, how can Sharpton get on the air and rail against Stand Your Ground when the stats show that black people benefit from Stand Your Ground more than white people?
Because they pay him. And it's not about the law. If you don't like the law, change it. There are things about the law that may need to be reshaped about it. It needs to be reshaped. If you don't like it, reshape it.
Amen.
Okay.
Our problem is we don't even want to reshape the law because we're lazy. We've been conditioned to watch TV all day long, have babies all night long, and wake up and smoke pot the rest of the time and then say it's okay, like it's not a gateway drug to nowhere. And the president comes out and says, smoke reefer, have same-sex marriage, and get a life. It's almost have a coke and a smile.
I was agreeing with you all the way up until that point. Jeez.
It's not even about getting a job. It's about making sure that you can stand on your own two feet. And people don't want to do that because it takes responsibility.
That's true.
But Tracy, I don't disagree with nothing you're saying. I don't disagree with nothing you're saying. I don't know why he had his animosity towards me today. I don't have
it
no.
Ain't about you. It's not about
that's
you.
The thing, but,
I need to get it off my chest because I am up to deck to my eyeballs. Trying to make a living so that I can actually sit here in this seat. To make systemic change in my own community.
Yep.
And getting black people to support me is like pulling teeth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the R after your name.
Well, I'm not one of them with you on a lot of issues, Tracy.
They don't want to do it. They don't want to do it, and we do not understand. As long as we do not have a vehicle for communication, we lose. And as long as we don't have an education, we lose. And then it's not about
that's
education
true.
In the book. It's about reading between the lines and knowing what it says when it says it.
Mm-hmm.
And our problem is we regurgitate what other people tell us and we don't think on our own because we're lazy. And I'm just about fed up because I'm tired. I'm extremely tired.
Mm-hmm.
And all I want to do is see black people be productive because they're better than this. They tell me now my culture is nothing about having babies that you can't take care of, and we say okay. We don't like being called a thug, but we go down the street without a job, busting a sag, without a job, not going nowhere, living in our mama's basement. And then you want to know why you're called a thug? It's because you are a thug.
Tracy, but there's another side to it I was just trying to bring in, and they call it the other guy, the foreign guy. I don't even know. My phone hung up for a while.
We can't call him foreign guy. We can't call him foreign guy.
I don't know his name.
He's
foreign guy.
But it's okay.
What's your name?
Man, oh, look.
No, wait a minute, Alabama. What's your name, guy? Where are you from?
I'm Hotep.
Hotep, how you doing?
I'm good, but he can.
Okay.
You know,
let me finish your statement. Go ahead, Alabama.
My thing was, the thing is, the statement about foreigners, actually, I'm in the airport, and I see a lot of Asians in here, and they got these little funny attitudes and stuff, and it kind of it's funny to me because I ran into a lot of them at Disney World. It's funny. I'm like, I'm from Montgomery. If it wasn't for a lot of my family members, they would probably, a lot of them may not even be able to go to Disney World. So a lot of people from foreign countries come over here, and they do have the attitude of, you guys have been here, and you're not this, and you're not that. Even African, I've spoken with a lot of them. Let me finish. I just sat there listening to you for 20 minutes straight. Go on. You
Alabama,
still on
I
your
don't
chest,
care. Alabama,
I can't even
I don't
get
care.
Fired. Go ahead. Do you.
Not 20 minutes.
And let me
ahead,
also say this. Foreigners come here, and they take opportunity that we died for. Now, who's mad at whom?
I'm not being upset.
Don't be mad
what
at
I'm
them
saying
because
is respect. I'm saying respect people when you
we
come to their country. If I go to anybody in the country, I'm going to respect
them. They don't respect you because you don't respect yourself.
Amen.
Exactly,
we help each other, and we don't. That's what they're looking at.
Okay,
Well,
then you disagree with the caller because the caller, the thing is, if it's mental and understand when people are in a situation and a circumstance, we just like Jeff made a minute ago, he made a point about all these different statistics that were on our side 40, 50 years ago. Today they're not. This was done on purpose.
by someone else coming
who
in and
cares?
Infiltrating. Can I get a sentence out, please, today? Can I get a sentence out? Can I get a sentence out?
No.
I'm not giving
it.
Look, no, you, wait, Tracy, you don't know me if you're talking about excuses. I'm not talking about excuses. I'm not a man of excuses.
Listen, my man, listen, God, listen. I know that it was a plan, but I don't care about your plan and the plan that the white man got for the black man.
Exactly.
All I care about is the plan that I have for myself. And if I got my plan, I'm going to work my plan. And, yes, we may die. So what? We dying anyhow.
Tracy, you fighting a straw man. I didn't say that. So go ahead and fight that ass. You fighting there. I didn't say nothing about beef. Because
well,
excuses, I didn't see nothing about.
You.
I'm just saying there's a
Amanda
reason why. Hold on. What I'm saying
no
is there's a reason.
What?
Stuff was done to people. There was things
so
that
what?
Were implemented. To, I'm just
we
trying to fight that. So let's not act like. So hold on. This
move
is the reason why.
That.
Okay. I mean,
I'm bringing this up. The reason I'm bringing it up is because let's not. When people look, oh, you're just lazy. That's not the situation. It's not always
it
like
is.
That.
It, it
man,
doesn't
please.
Even matter. It doesn't matter what they're. It doesn't matter what they're saying, what they're believing. All that matters is we need to come together with a plan, or you need to develop your own plan and work it out. Forget about what they're saying. You need to create. You need to have tunnel vision in this.
Let me say
forget
this.
Yeah,
right.
That. Yeah, and I don't.
Know that.
And I don't.
Listen,
hold on.
And
I don't. Let me make
listen,
this point.
No, no.
Because y'all
listen,
fighting a strong
listen,
man.
No,
y'all just
listen,
you're going to just sit up here and insult me
listen,
and put something on me. That's not me.
Alabama,
I'm not going to let you put something on me. That's not me.
You and Jeff can, listen, Alabama, you and Jeff can work this out on tomorrow. What I'm saying to you is today. Today on what today's the date? Today's the 17th of February, 2014. I know what black white man did to me yesterday, but guess what? The same white man that did me wrong yesterday is not the same white man that did my mama wrong yesterday. And we need to get up off of that. Yeah,
what,
they
who's
may
saying
take us down.
That? Who's saying
but what I'm
that?
Saying, we're not scared. We're punks.
Okay, a lot of them are. Go ahead.
Listen to what I'm saying. We're punks. Jesse Jackson talking about he was there with Martin Luther King when he marched down the street,
yeah.
And yet he was willing to march with him as long as he had his guard up
just,
and all
I just
was
saw
going
him down
on.
Hallway.
And at the end of the day, he ain't scared. He got a paycheck.
Yeah, he paid. I just saw him down the hallway, people all up him trying to get his autograph.
So what I'm saying is he got a paycheck. So is that scared or is that selling you out?
He sold us out.
Yeah, the white man got his foot on my neck, but that's why you break his foot off.
But you learn, learn his rules. Learn his system. Now, don't be ignorant. If you're going
to
fight an enemy
Alabama,
like Sun Tzu,
trying to tell you,
learn
I've
what
been
he's
trying
doing.
To tell you about, Alabama, I've been yelling about this system for the last 7 years. And I keep on telling people you can't learn the system from the outside and you got to get in.
True.
I told them that there's precinct committee races all up and down the line. Have you become
Amen.
One? No. They want to yell about a racist chairman of the Democrat Party here locally, yet didn't nobody support, didn't nobody run against him so that he could, for the precinct committee people. Hello? Everybody just talking hot air.
I'm a precinct chair.
There's one. Mm-hmm. But they just talking hot air. Don't
well,
know
well,
what
Tracy,
they're doing.
My
don't
point.
Know where they're going. And when you
Tracy,
tell them, when you want
to
do this,
boy.
Change this. I love you.
My plane's boarding, Tracy.
You and Jeff can have
was...
a good time tomorrow.
Okay, yes, ma'am. The point I was trying to make with the whole reason of bringing something up about why people are where they are and why
you're
the situation
to be
is to understand. Hold on,
why
no, it's just to understand the strategies of what's going on so you can understand how to. It's just like with cancer. If you're going to diagnose it, is it kidney cancer? Is it lung cancer? Which
cut
one? So which type of chemotherapy you want to use? Which type
Alabama,
of, so that's all I'm saying.
So
in order
know,
to use the right
I,
tools,
on,
you got to know what's going
Alabama,
on.
Alabama, I just went through it. I just went through it. So over the last month and a half, I've gone through 3 surgeries, and what they did was they cut it out. Early detection will work. And if you check it out early, you cut it out small. Cut it out. You don't sit up and try to radiate it, try to kill it, because all it does is kill everything else around you. If you
it
don't
just,
like
it, depends on
cut
what
it off.
You don't
neck.
Always cut it out. You don't always
you
cut
it
out. Some people, they leave it in.
Did
they
you
don't
hear
always
what
cut
I
it
said?
Out.
Early
Go
detection,
ahead.
Early detection, planning. You find
Fantastic.
It small enough, you cut it out. And our problem is we wait until it infuses the whole system. And we've got to start cutting this off now. Cut it out.
Each.
Sticks, are we going to make it out of here alive?
Maybe not.
Yeah, sheep between us and the door. This could get.
I'm serious about
that. And ain't no opening on the window either.
No.
Well, I'm loving your words.
It's just true. If you don't like it, cut it out. But you've got to catch it early. And right now, it's early enough to still cut it out. And our problem is we're sitting up here and we're going to talk about this and we're not going to do anything about it. We're not going to pull our resources about it. And then we're going to be upset when it happens again. Well, guess what? I promise you, tonight some black boy is going to die for nothing.
That's true.
And you're still going to give your vote away.
Absolutely.
See, what I don't understand is why can't we, when we come together for a common cause, just be apolitical? You didn't see Martin Luther King in politics all the time because he knew politics is very divisive.
Steva,
so when you're trying to talk to me, then you come at me about my
politics.
It's going to turn me off.
Steva, don't tell me he didn't talk politics.
That's all he talked.
He did not talk politics as in... I'm a Republican, and you're voting for some racist, and yada, yada, yada.
I want you to go back, and I want you to read about
that. He gave it to people straight on both sides.
Diva, Letitia, I want you to go and read about the Blue Book. Don't tell me that he didn't. Do you know about the Blue Book?
No,
I do
not.
The Blue Book is about when Martin Luther King was inside of a jail. He called called Richard Nixon because Nixon was running against Kennedy for president. And Nixon didn't answer his call because he didn't do anything because he didn't want to be aligned. And Nixon was a Republican. He didn't want to be aligned in the southern states as helping a black man out. So Kennedy called him on the phone. And the day before the election, a blue book went out. And it went out to all the black communities throughout this nation. And they said that they were going to support Kennedy because Kennedy supported Martin Luther King while he was in the Birmingham jail. Now go read that story.
But did Martin Luther King put that story out there or was somebody else
wrote it?
You won't listen to me. Go and read the story. I'm not making
it up. I
go
heard the story.
It.
I didn't know that it was an actual book about it, but I heard the story.
Go and read it. Don't take my word for it. You're a good reader.
However, you want me to read it? You guys tell me who's the author.
They compared him to Paul, who wrote in the prisons. I remember that.
You've got to go and read.
The Blue Book by A.L. Kennedy, is that the correct book? Or
go and read it. It was a pamphlet. It was blue. Go and read it.
I'll look it
go
up.
Go read the whole situation of that race. I wasn't even born.
Race is
it should be quite
point,
obvious,
though.
Even that the only changes he can make was make changes at the federal level. A busload of people, 10,000 people can't come from Massachusetts, go down in Alabama and say, y'all need to change. You have no standing to do that. Only thing that he could do and that which he did do was make changes at the federal level, which was presidents, that the states had to combine. How do you think homosexual, same-sex marriages is coming about? Because the federal government recognizes, therefore, the states have to also.
And they're running the same playbook as Martin Luther King did, one state at a time. But no, we sitting up here trying to change things inside of a shoebox and wonder why we can't get it changed, and all they're doing is cutting you off at your neck. And yes, everything is political. From getting your hair done to getting your nose blowed, for catching a cold to taking a pill to going to the bathroom, all of it has to do with politics. You can't flush the toilet without a political stamp on it.
All the advances that Black America received came through the federal courts, not the state courts. Oh, you don't have no standard in the state. They come through
the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act. All those things help many
people.
Not
only that, but also other decisions. That's why come blacks. That's why come they came up with arbitration in many cases. That's why come when they have suits for harm and damage, they stay away from the city with jury selection. We're trying it. They go to the outskirts area. So without the federal government, I ain't no telling where we would be at. And then, too, you got to have
Pianchi,
the federal government to enforce the laws because
Pianchi,
the states would not enforce the laws.
But, Pianchi, but today it's changed. And that's where we're losing, because we're losing on the states. We're losing on the state's rights. We're losing at the state level.
True.
We're losing at the school board level.
Oh, that's a big one.
We're losing right there, Pianchi, and you know that. And that's what I'm saying. You and I sit here and we talk about this, what goes on in Missouri and what goes on in Ohio, because you can't suddenly mandate these things because it happens at the state level. But nobody pays attention to your state legislature.
And Tracy, if you look at it this way, I mean, at the state level, in Colorado and Washington, they are going against a federal law legalizing marijuana. However, there's a federal law that's been enacted that the federal government decided that they don't want to have anything to do with it, and that's DOMA. So, I mean,
marijuana is such a superficial issue. I think that gay rights, marijuana, are just distractions. I can't believe
that
our people are dying, and we're worrying about who's getting it up the butt or who's smoking
it. But
no.
They
are non-issues.
That's not the point.
It does make a difference. It does make a difference.
It makes zero difference. I have friends
It does make a difference. It makes
joints.
No.
They come to the meeting. They show up. I have straight friends, gay friends.
Listen,
and
I got them all.
I don't ask them nothing about what they're smoking and whose penis they are.
I don't care.
You know,
I don't care.
I don't care about none
with.
Of that. All people are dying.
Let me say
Come
this.
On now.
Let me say this. I don't care who you sleep with, but I got a child who's in elementary school, and I don't want them being taught that. That
yeah,
child is a
thank you very
built.
Much.
Yeah.
It makes a
that's
difference.
That's a valid
because
issue.
The issue is if you want to come out and you want to sleep with your horse, sleep with your horse.
No,
but you don't have
abuse.
To come and bring your horse inside your classroom and say, this is how we sleep together. It makes a difference because what it does, it still emasculates the family. See, we want to erode the family. You will not go over to India. You won't go over to Russia. You won't go over to your darker states and talk about this kind of thing in a public setting because most of it is not allowed.
Wow. But what about
because
in
they do not want to erode the family, even if they have multiple wives. Procreation is the key. You cannot make anything with two people of the same sex.
And that's why
my
so
comment?
Many white folks have to adopt
yes.
our children, because we don't
is
adopt
that
them. So the same people
my name
talking
is Angela.
About that aren't adopted.
Hi, Angela. How are you?
I'm doing well this morning.
Where are you from?
These arguments that I'm hearing, you know, about the I don't want this to be taught to my children or them to be exposed to for the same arguments they used back in the 60s when they were talking about desegregation. What do you think about that?
Listen, the difference
talking about
is
what?
Desegregation. The difference between this and that is that they want me to affirm it. See, if I don't want to date a white man, I don't have to.
True.
And you're not going to bring a white man and a black man into my classroom and say, this is what, you know, a black white man and a black woman. You're not going to bring interracial into my classroom and say, this is how they do it. They say, this is how they live. That's their business. Fine. But what's going on now is they're trying to get me to affirm it. See, if this is all about affirmation, you want me to call it
normal.
Are
you talking about the Common Core?
The Common Core, the whole indoctrination of all of it. What it is the normalizing of abnormalities. So 1 + 1 = 3
what
if you can
call
prove
abnormalities.
It. No, it's not. Listen, you can actually say that anything that does not procreate, you might have sexual feelings and you may enjoy same-sex, you know, relationships, and that's what you do. And it's okay for you to do what you do. That's your business. But if nothing produces out of it, if you cannot produce a fruit out of this, if you cannot produce a child out of this, no two same-sex anythings produces anything. No matter in
so
what species
it is. So then a blowjob
is
off the table and masturbation and everyone that gets
again,
a DJ
again,
or masturbation.
That's
sex.
Only
again, you can say that.
And
again, that's sex. You can have sex with anything you choose to have sex with. You can do it with a pillow and or with a frog. That's your business. But if it does not produce another fruit that looks like you, then you have a problem because you will not have a bird and a fish having sex.
And the argument,
and how does that stop police brutality
based on,
or hunger?
Hang on a second. The argument based on segregation versus the homosexuality thing. segregation was state-sponsored forced division.
Right.
It had the will of the state behind it. It wasn't people who said, I don't want you to say interracial marriage is right or wrong. It was a state requirement. That's the huge difference.
And that's what Justice Thomas
makes.
That's
the same thing about marriage, though.
But what I'm
and
saying,
that's what Justice Thomas
is what I'm saying, guys. What I'm saying is the abnormality of it. Again,
but
you can have you listen. What I'm saying, guys, you can listen. You can listen. You listen. It can be normal to you. Let me say this. It can be normal to you, and if that's your normal, that's fine.
I'm sorry. You'll never convince me.
But
it
doesn't matter if
it's
normal.
Hey, Tracy.
You're never going to convince me a child molester is normal.
But I'm not going to call that normal.
And as far as the marriage
Tracy,
law, we need to understand where the marriage placement laws came from.
I have a problem with you equating homosexuality to child molesters and bestiality.
Tracy, on that issue.
Listen to what I said.
On that issue.
People can have sex with who choose to have sex with.
Just don't tell me it's normal.
Just don't tell me that I got
to
call it normal.
You can't have sex whomever you choose to have sex with. It's about people entering, grown people enter into a consensual sexual
relationship.
That's the thing. They can do that, but don't tell me it's normal.
Well, they can do that, but they shouldn't have a right to teach children that. That's totally wrong. Like
I have not heard my daughter being taught in her school, in this school district, about...
Well, let me quote this. What about the Fiskgate conference that was held in Massachusetts, put on by Ginseng, who the head of Ginseng is the educational czar, Kevin Jenkins, who works for Obama today? Well, they would bring bussing kids to this conference. It's elementary school. They had workshops where some of the topics were whether you should swallow or spit it out, and also fisting. That was being taught to elementary school children.
Get out.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
They see
people
killed
on
TV and
they'll be lined up and shot.
You have to give me a link on that so I can look that up. What conference was that?
Those people should be thrown in jail for child molestation.
Listen, it's coming from
because I can see if they're putting on a conference for children to identify as homosexuals.
Diva.
It was called a Fiskgate conference.
It's coming to a school and or a community near you. It is
okay.
What it is. And people can do what they choose. What the problem is the affirmation of it. They want me to affirm that it's okay. And in my church, they want me to marry them if they choose to come there and get married.
And that's one of Obama's.
Like
well,
Angela
if kids
said,
can learn about World War
One,
and kids can learn
marriage.
About World War
point.
Two, and kids can learn
point.
About black people being lynched. Why can't they learn about gay folks? It's a complete distraction.
It's because
being
lynched is against a person's civil rights. All right? People have affirmations. Some people don't want your kids to learn about being lynched. They say it's too brutal.
True. I know.
A parent has a right to tell, to set their children in an environment that they feel is best for their children. If they don't want their child to be taught by a gay teacher that's outwardly gay, because you would never know unless they start outwardly admitting it, or having on their desk a picture of two males kissing each other, then they should have a right to take their kids out of that room.
Well,
if parents can
well,
take their kids
right
out of a room where
the
teacher
the room
has an accent, why come they can't take their
teacher.
Children out of a room where the child,
guess what?
Where the teacher
you know
is
know
looking?
And let me say it to you this,
this
way,
is
honey,
the same
honey,
discussion
honey,
that racist
God.
White
let
people
me say
had
this way.
About black folks.
No,
now
they have black folks have this discussion.
Gay people, listen, I'm telling you this. If you don't want me to teach your little white kid with blue eyes, then I want you to take your kid out the classroom. I don't have a problem with that. As a matter of fact, I grew up in an area where I know they didn't like black kids because they didn't like me. And you know what? I look back today, and I'm glad that they didn't like me, and they let me know it, because I'd rather for you to let me know that you don't like me than to smile in my face and act like you do. I'm okay
just like
with
in a, just like in Georgia, Beyonce. Where they was having the segregated prom.
But what I'm saying to you is, People can choose to do what they choose to do, and it's okay. Some of my friends are gay, and they know how I feel, and it's okay. But just because I had sex last night does not mean I have to stand up today and tell you who I had sex with. It's okay. If you want to live with a man, live with a woman, if you whatever you want to do, it's all right. If you want to adopt your children, that's your business. Everybody has their own blended family. Go for it. But
just
in America, I don't have to affirm your marriage and your relationship. As a matter of fact, I still think sex without being married is wrong. So you can beat me up on that one. So guess what? Fornication is wrong. You should be married before you have sex. As a matter of fact, you should get married before you even kiss. If you want to know the truth about it, that's how I feel about it.
Marriage
so
is
now,
a document
that
we signed with the slave master's system. So
I don't care what
slave
you feel.
System
I don't listen.
Is,
that's
I mean,
your. If that's how you feel in the slave master's and they had to document and all that, fine, well and
that's
good. What I'm saying is marriage inside of an institution called America, if you want to do it, that's your business. But don't make me have to affirm
it. You have a double standard, Tracy.
But it's not, because now you have
I think they should have two licenses.
I say
I think one license should be designated heterosexual, and another license designate whatever they want to.
Tracy, can I make one point? I know the callers, you have a lot of valid points. 90% of what you say, I'm 1,000%, my heart is beating like yes. But on issues such as marijuana, gay issues, et cetera, I think the old school of thinking that...
Can I tell you this?
Let me finish the point, Tracy.
I'm going to tell you this. Let me tell you why. Because I've smoked enough marijuana to light a fire, and it's a gateway drug. I promise you that.
I never have tried it.
And people, the people who smoke marijuana are not productive adults. Because wherever you start smoking is where you stop learning, and it is a zombie drug. So now, if you want to do it, it's illegal. Keep it illegal. I don't think we should legalize it, nor should we promote it, especially to our youth.
But my glaucoma.
There's pills for THC. You can actually take pills that has the actual THC in it.
Right, I know that. That's why I don't understand why it's a valid argument.
I know a person with glaucoma who can't swallow pills, so what do you do in
then
that
guess
regard?
What? Crush it up and put it inside of your drink.
Yeah, well, he's got
to
be able to
drink. There's many forms, but it's a gateway drug that we're getting ready to legalize, and we're going to dumb down and make
Alcohol is a gateway drug.
Steve, it's a gateway drug, and unless
alcohol
you smoke enough reefer that I have, then don't tell me that it's not, because it is.
What about for pain? What's your viewpoint on it
for pain?
For pain. Marijuana for pain.
Yeah.
And cancer.
Pain medication.
You know what?
I have lupus.
Drugs.
That's why I'm
asking. I have MS, so I'm there.
Listen, if you're terminal and you're going to die and you're in pain,
that's why they make morphine.
Take morphine, which is definitely
I'm on morphine.
A
I don't like it. I hate it.
No, morphine is not the same as marijuana in terms of how it impacts the neurological
Listen to what I'm saying.
We were talking about
definitely.
For pain.
But legalized,
terminal pain,
listen,
yeah.
Terminal pain, marijuana, there is enough out there. There are things out there.
Like what?
Oh, I'll do some research and come back again, and I'll do it again. There are other things out there. But listen to what I'm saying. Legalizing marijuana in America, trust me, if you told me that the only people that were going to be using marijuana were people that were cancer and they were the terminally ill, that they used it because they couldn't do anything else, I may not knock it. But I know.
This is nothing but a distraction.
No, sweetheart, it's not a distraction. What it is a dumbing down of another group of Americans. Because I know my cousins and my family.
What study has shown that dumbs people down, Tracy? What study do you know of?
Listen, sweetie, I've got
because they're believing
the
hype is what
I have done. I'm telling y'all, I'm not making this up. I started smoking weed at 12. Don't tell me.
No, not you. What study?
Oh, no. I'm
Your
telling you the truth.
I'm
really bearing this out. So anybody that wants to know, I started smoking weed at 12 on the steps of a church. And
Maybe
I
you
smoked
didn't
enough weed
the,
for
original Jamaican stuff.
I smoked enough weed from 12 to 21 that would blow your mind.
But did you switch over to crack or heroin or something since you're saying it's a gateway drug?
Yes, Diva.
What other drugs did you use?
Diva.
Oh, let her talk.
I've done coke. Diva, would you really want to know? Do you really want me to go there? Because I will today.
Yeah, I want to know.
I have done. Hold on. No, you want to call it out? I have done cocaine. I have done opium. I have done hash.
You were drug addicted?
Yes, I did.
You went all the way.
That was weird.
I told God if he ever got me out of that, I'd
you
never
do it
again. So let me tell
yeah.
you, the only reason why I am not as crazier
God.
Than I am today is because of the grace of God. So don't tell me what I don't know, because I do know, and I didn't read a book because I wrote it.
But I know plenty of people who smoke weed all day and never tried any other drug.
And guess what?
And they don't have jobs and everything.
Diva, they got jobs and everything, and I promise you they could become better if they didn't smoke weed all day long.
Okay, I get that, but you can't say it's a gateway drug. And
it's a gateway drug for the majority of people.
It might be a gateway drug.
And what I'm saying to you is you have no whatsoever. And it is not something that you want to – it's like smoking cigarettes, and we said it was cool. We all smoked cools in Newport, and they had little camels, and we had all this going on back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they promoted it and then found out it was killing us. I'm telling y'all, this is not something that we want to be promoting in America. We got enough issues.
It's a minor issue.
Can I ask you a question? I'm really interested.
Yeah, go ahead.
Had you not used reefer or marijuana, do you think you would have gone down the path that you did?
I would have been better off.
Do you think you would have gone?
I don't know where I would be today, but I would have been better off academically.
Oh, for certain. Okay.
But no,
that
I
was
kicking it high. I was kicking it
later on that you would have started something else?
Absolutely. We were taking Quaaludes. We were doing anything we could to get high. It was what we did. And what I'm telling you is it is not something that we want to promote in America. We have enough problems. And what it does is it desensitizes you so that you really don't care about what the hell is going on around you.
Okay.
And our kids today are having a hard time coping. And so the last thing you need to do is start telling them that weed is good.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, no social change, no social justice will happen if marijuana is legalized in this country, because no one's going to care anymore. Everybody will be stoned.
Even if they do make it legal, you're
not
still not going to be able to get a
They have the same arguments about alcohol.
Diva, and not everybody decides to drink alcohol to the point where they're all drunk, and I'm not a proponent of people drinking, but alcohol will empty your system. Marijuana lingers. Listen to what I'm saying. Alcohol will leave your system rapidly.
8 hours from the last drink.
Marijuana lingers. And when I tell you this, it is a hallucinogenic. It messes with your psyche. It messes with your mind, and it messes with your capability to learn and to adhere. And it is not something that in America that we want to promote. We are a society of obsession. We get into something and we lose our mind. And as a matter of fact, if you want to drink a glass of wine, one glass a night, there's nothing wrong with it. They tell me it's good for your heart. But we know in America that more and more people die from alcoholism and kill other people because of alcoholism and destroy more families because of alcoholism, because we are a society of obsessions. Look at gambling. We act like gambling is a recreation, but we know that gambling destroys families. We are obsessive,
Tracy,
and the last thing we need to do is take drugs and do this.
What Christian denomination are you, Tracy?
I just believe in Jesus Christ, period.
So you're
not a denomination.
Amen.
I'm not denominational.
Okay.
I have nothing. I believe, and I'm not a religious person. I am a Christian. It is a way of life.
Yeah,
I believe in Jesus Christ. No denomination at all.
Yeah. What's it have to
I
do
respect
with it?
That. I used to be non-denominational.
I'll be brief.
Non-denominational to me meant I could pick anything that I liked from the Bible, and I could ignore the facts that didn't make sense.
No, that's not what non-denominational means. I believe in the beginning all the way to the end, Genesis to Revelation. Everything in the Word of God is true, and there is nothing in there that is fallacy. And I believe that we should live by it even if we don't.
So you believe that Adam and Eve existed 5,000 to 6,000 years ago?
I believe that Adam and Eve existed, and before Adam and Eve, there was a world. I believe that God created the heaven and the earth, and there was no human. I believe there was a God, and I believe there was a God that created the heaven and the earth and everything that is in between. I believe that God created man, and because of him, we are all created. And we are not a part of the Big Bang Theory, and I don't believe it. And he created all creatures, and man is in the likeness and image of God. And the only way to get through him is through the blood of Jesus Christ.
So since Australian Aborigines have existed for over 20,000 years, the Egyptian Sphinx is over 10,000 years old, where does the Adam that you say is 5,000 to 6,000 years old fit in?
I didn't say 6,000 years old. You did. I didn't give him a number.
Okay, you're right. How long ago did Adam and Eve exist, you think?
In the beginning.
Oh, give just an approximate time period.
Billions of years.
Because it is possible from the Bible
billions
to go
years,
from Adam to Jesus.
Crazy.
How many?
Billions of years. Yes, yes, South Carolina. Billions.
You know, one of the things when people get into this discussion about
dinosaurs,
that, you know. Wow. You know, what gets me is the fact that, you know, they do that to try and discredit Christianity, okay? I don't hear them trying to discredit, you know, Hinduism or Buddhism or Taoism or even, you know, the Islamic faith. But there is a concerted effort to discredit Christianity.
And I can tell you why, brother. Would you like to hear it, since I am the one discrediting Christianity?
I would like to hear it.
Of course you don't,
not
because you have one side. I'll tell you why, if you all don't mind. Christianity comes from Judaism. Judaism is actually an African root. Judaism mixed with Egyptian mythology when Alexander the Great and Greek writers went into Egypt. No, but it's the truth. Jesus never told anyone to create a religion, nor did Jesus bring the Bible. The Bible is 66 books, sometimes more or less. So you're asking why, and I'm telling you why.
And he is right.
The Christian slave master and the Saudi slave master enslaved us the same. They gave us a book, and they took our land and our women and our children. So that is why I stand up against imperial religion. Now, does it mean all Christians are wrong? No, because there's some good people trying to do good things. But if you go to the Pope, they're raping children. If you go to
the Queen, who runs many Christian churches, Christianity is fallacious, but good people exist in any religion. Listen to what I'm saying.
He sounds like a communist.
Listen to what I'm saying. And let's go back here for just a second. Let's really get this straight. I didn't say I was Catholic and I don't believe in Constantine. I don't follow him either. The Nicene Council, I think they're fine, well, and good, but I don't follow them either. And you're right. Jesus Christ, he never established a religion, and Christianity is not a religion. It is a life. And those that walk a part of the life are a part of the kingdom of God, and those who are not are a part of the kingdom of darkness. It is what it is. I thank all of you today. It's been a real happy day. I'm at the end of my show. Ben, tomorrow Jeff and I will be here. God knows what we're going to talk about. Yeah.
Hello?
Hi.
I'm here. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe
she got the air. She just left the mic open. The mic will be open for about the next hour so we can have our own little discussion off air.
Oh, okay. But the show is over, in other words.
Yes.
She has some great points, I got to tell you, and she is very emotional, and I love her energy, and I'm just concerned about her because she sounds very like she's close to the end of a line, and I hope some of you know her and can talk to her in private because, you know, I can sense that in her voice. She's very distressed, but I understand why
she's not
distressed.
She's not distressed. She is distressed. She's distressed at seeing... Tracy is very passionate about the African-American cause. She's distressed because she can't understand why African-Americans vote and think differently than her. In her heart, she feels like she's doing good and she knows what's best, and we should take heed of her words, you know, exact change, and we can have a community of African-Americans like we want. That's where her distress comes from.
Yeah.
She's a conservative Republican, and most of the people that she's around with African-Americans are Democrats.
Okay. The problem with us, me or you or her, thinking that we have all the answers is that we don't, because the problem is so complex that it will take several of us maybe in each state and in each nation if we want to go geopolitical to solve the problems. So while, you know, I appreciate her candor and her sincerity and her heart, there are some issues that other people can bring to the table. For example, she mentioned that Adam and Eve existed, what, a billion years ago? Impossible.
She was being facetious. What she's trying to explain to you is, as a non-denominational Christian, because I am one, we don't believe the world just was created 6,000 years ago. We know through science, and we don't deny science as in totality, that it was created only 6,000 years ago. That's impossible.
But you realize that the Bible itself, if you count from Adam to Jesus, and then you count from Jesus to today, 2014 plus back to Adam, it adds up to between 5,500 and 6,000 years. It's been
documented.
No,
not really, because the Bible doesn't give you
theologians.
The Bible doesn't give you any dates, and then people assume that when you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that it's going in chronological order, and it doesn't, because in between some of them stories in Genesis, it gives you glimpses of things before Adam and Eve.
So if your point were right, sister, right, and you say that it's not in chronological order then what we're saying is that a book that was written by the Most High, which is actually many books, was not written in chronological order. And then if that is the case, then how do we know what to take seriously? Now, what
my spiritual Christian friends
would say is, one quick point, what they would say is, well, you got to believe, because if you have the faith, you would be able to figure it out. And what I say is preposterous, because a perfect God that made all the galaxies wouldn't leave it up to imperfect humans to figure out the literature. So I look at holy books for what they are. Intriguing.
When I say that it was written, I'm not saying that it was written out of order. It was put. I was put together, because you have to look at the New Testament comes from the Jewish
scriptures.
And
I'm sorry, the Old Testament comes from the Hebrew. The New Testament comes from Christian folks.
It comes from the Jewish religion. It comes from the Torah. So you had all these different.
No, not the New Testament.
Everything they wrote down back then was written down by scribes. It was scribed. So you have all these different books or passages or whatever being spread about. How we got what we got now is because...
That's not totally true, though. Moses' stuff wasn't written by scribes. It was written by supposedly God. So, yes, scribes were involved, but not the entire writing.
I never read in the book where God, the only thing that God wrote by his hand was the commandments.
The tablets of stone is the, yeah, so you said all scribes wrote the Bible, and that's not totally true.
But, okay, we're talking about the scribes had to write down what Moses dictated to them. The Old Testament is a book of history about what happened.
Here's the thing that people just don't look at. The Bible is not just one book. It's a collection of 66 different books written by over 30 authors over a period of 5,000 years, and there's no other book on the face of this earth that's been written over that period of time that says the same thing.
But it doesn't say the same thing. It changed at the Council at Nicaea, brother. Council at Nicaea 1, Council at Nicaea 2, and at different ecumenical... I'm going to do 10 seconds.
Wait a minute.
At different ecumenical councils, different Christian groups... Stop.
I would really like to make a comment. I've asked 3 different times.
Go ahead.
My thought was, and I'm sorry about that call, won't stop, is that when you ask a spiritual question, you cannot expect an intellectual answer. They are like oil and water. They do not mix. And what I'm hearing from you, I'm sorry I don't know your name, sir, is that you're asking spiritual questions, expecting an intellectual answer. You're wanting faith.
Definitely.
You're wanting this. And
the
that,
two go, they go
you
together.
Do not mix. No, they do not. Intellectual and spiritual do not mix. You ask a spiritual question, you need a spiritual answer. And that was my comment.
That is preposterous. All of science and math,
no, it's not.
Spiritual and intellectual, all of it. So we're saying don't think intellectually. You've got to give up common sense, practicality, arithmetic, mathematics, geopolitics,
and
just go with the spirit.
Jeff Green, when you need him.
Jeff Green is one of the smartest
Christians that I know who can mix intellectual and spiritual because he can give you.
Of course, there's nothing wrong with.
He can answer this guy's questions better than I can.
I agree with the young lady that just spoke. He's asking us to explain something at an intellectual level, you know. But this, he's asking
there
us
are
a
people who
for a
can.
Question. The wisdom of
but
God.
But there are people who can. In case in point
Diva,
is Jeff Green.
Diva,
he can answer the guy in the way that he.
But what I'm saying is, the Bible clearly states the wisdom of God is as foolishness unto man. It doesn't make any sense to a man.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to his mind.
So if
you,
it doesn't
you,
make
you
any
get,
sense, family,
listen.
Then why read
it
the book?
It doesn't make any sense to me, you know, to go out and look up into the sun and be blinded. But people do it anyway. That makes no sense to me.
If you had
the
there's
fact
things,
is not
things that's going to happen in this world that don't make any sense, and to me
if you had proof you would not need faith.
Exactly.
Faith is preposterous, people.
But see,
I
hope you'll
that,
be
so
able to.
That's fine.
You
that
have
opinion.
Faith,
that
but
your
you're not
is
guaranteed to walk
sense.
Out your house
young.
And nothing yeah. happened to you, and you don't. You know, you have faith that you walk out your house. That you'll be okay, regardless of what you
no,
believe.
No, I don't
you
have
faith.
In my community,
house,
I go out and I make sure I'm safe. I don't have faith. I only have faith that the system will continue to perpetuate itself as long as we don't realize that before Christianity and before Islam and before Judaism, we had spirituality. We were not climbing trees and just eating bananas and swimming and committing crimes.
And
we have been convinced that there's some entity in the sky floating around.
What bothers me about the whole argument, the thing that bothers me about the whole argument is because they always have a tendency to go back to the core of Judaism and say that Judaism like Jesse Jackson said, it's a gutter religion. Or like Louis Farrakhan said, it's a gutter religion. And that's the whole point. It is an attack on the Jewish people. You know, it was not a Jew that enslaved the black man. It was another black man. Matter of fact, it was an Arab from the north. They came down and they enslaved black people. It was
yeah,
their religion.
They did it before Christians. Oh, definitely.
My whole problem with the argument is that you look at Christianity and you look at it as a religion when Christianity itself is not a religion, it's a relationship. And that's what Tracy was trying to explain to you, that we're not a part of the Catholic movement. We're not a part of the Baptist movement, OJIG, or all these other different factions that call themselves Christians. We are believers in Christ. We have a relationship with Christ, and we live our lives according to that relationship. And that's where we get upset
that.
Because people tend to misconstrue Christianity, true Christianity, and confuse it with all these other different, I mean, a Catholic is a Catholic, Baptist is a Baptist, a Lutheran is a Lutheran, a Methodist is a Methodist, a Jehovah's Witness is a Jehovah's Witness. We just consider ourselves Christian because we don't fit into any of those other sects.
Did Jesus call himself a Christian or a Christ?
They were called believers. The reason why we identify with the word Christian is because of the root word Christ. That's it. It's just a name. You have to actually go by the actions of the actual believer because they were called believers back then.
No,
so we can
my
use
question
Christian,
is,
we can
did
use
Jesus
believer.
Call himself Christ, though?
Did you say, I am the Christ?
Your question.
The way.
Mm-hmm. See, because you're calling it, my mother does this, and my father, can I tell you all, I've gone to different denominations and sat and read. And no, the Jesus there was no person named Jesus Christ. I don't know if any of you are aware of that. I think some of you will be. It's just
no,
a title.
Okay,
Christ part did not exist.
I've listened to that argument as well. And see that one is coming out of kind of like the Black Israelites or the 12 lost tribes of Israel and so on and so forth, but you know, and that argument stems out
but
of
answer
there is
the
no
question.
J. No, but
okay.
there is no
Christ,
J in
Christ,
the Hebrew.
The word Christ
the
means what? Christ means
Christ
what?
Christ comes from
Christos,
C-H-I-S-T-O-S, and before that, there was no Jesus Christ. It's just a title given to a person that may have existed by a name similar to Jesus, which would have been something like Lysos. There was no Christ. Christ didn't even exist. I said the name. You're being ridiculous. Come on, man.
Right.
Be mature.
No,
I'm being silly.
It did not exist.
You're twisting my words. I'm trying to have a sensible conversation. You're being an idiot.
No,
Mr. is not on your birth certificate, but we would probably call you Mr. Such and Such. Am I correct?
In Greek, Christ means anointed.
I don't think the point is clear.
There was no
word Christ that existed during the time of the character called Jesus Christ.
A lot of words did not exist at that time.
So
it's called language has changed over time. And so now we're using modern language. We translate it into those languages, Greek in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Hebrew in the New Testament. We have just simply translated it into modern language.
Why, though? Why?
It's easier for me to read it and build a relationship than to read Greek, Latin, or Hebrew. But also know that what I'm reading is true because I now have a tool where I can go back and look up the Hebrew word, and then it'll tell me that Hebrew word means this word that I'm reading today. So I'm trying to understand why you guys are so all upset because we translated
I can tell you why I'm upset.
Unless it's
a rhetorical question, I'll tell you what upsets me. My father died recently believing that he's going to go to a heaven where Jesus Christ is going to exist, right? My mother is close to death in the next few weeks. She's very sick, believing the same thing. I say to them constantly, why would a perfect God have to write a book in a language that is thousands of years old and not have the damn intellect to write it in English language and future languages? No one can answer the question. So we are divided on
English
these issues,
even created
and we can't possibly solve police brutality.
That doesn't even make any sense to me.
English,
I know it doesn't, but it makes sense if you think about it.
Why would God only write
in Hebrew or
Arabic? Hold on. Why would God not put Mercedes Benzes and brand new houses so everybody can live in them? That's the argument you're making, man.
You're making a point that is so ridiculous. So why didn't God make a DJ turntable and a TV?
Why didn't God just put it in a language?
You're comparing a Mercedes to the Bible.
They didn't
I mean, you don't see how preposterous that point is. Because people don't need a Mercedes, but Christians claim people need the Bible. So why didn't God rate it in every language? But this conversation won't get anywhere. I understand you all are stuck on it.
Right.
And I appreciate the
English
discussion.
English was not invented at that time, so how, I mean,
if you guys
that's
let
my
me
point.
Address it, if I may.
So,
now, you're asking why was it not written in English? English was not invented at that time.
I'm aware of that.
Well, let me finish. English is derived from French, Latin root words, Spanish words. It's like the mutt. English is the mother of all the languages. And Jesus spoke Aramaic. And Christ, in the Greek term, means anointed. Does that answer?
No one has noticed that the Quran was written in Arabic and the Bible was written in languages of the time, and all these powerful gods couldn't figure out the languages of the future, and they require translation and transliteration. But it's okay.
Why would they have an English-written Bible, English-written books that weren't even in a language that wasn't even spoken at the time?
That's how powerful God should be.
But, no, there was no sense.
Why not?
If somebody spoke English, then yes.
So then they need translation. Okay. We won't agree on this issue.
I mean, the beauty
issue,
of God is that he instilled men with wisdom.
Police brutality stuff is good.
I just could
not
hear what I was saying, sir.
How can we
not hear what I was
deal
saying,
with issues
sir.
Like police brutality?
Please answer
because
me.
Nothing that what is your point? I'm sorry.
Could you not hear what I was saying? I was trying to explain to you that English is the mutt of all languages. It's derived from many different languages, Latin root words, French root words.
I know.
Spanish root words.
And Egyptian, actually.
At that time when
folks,
Jesus was
we
alive.
Folks, we will never agree on this. You all will never agree
Muhammad
to me.
Was
I won't
born
agree to
after
you all. So
Jesus.
How do we deal with police brutality and
you're
racism? Is that possible?
You're asking questions, yet you're not willing to hear an answer.
I told you that makes no
now,
sense.
That's ridiculous.
God can write in future
the
languages.
The thing is, he's
period.
Not asking questions to gain understanding. He's asking
no,
questions
I'm not because it's nonsense.
Because we're wrong.
It's nonsense.
No,
now that we all agree that
no,
I am crazy and that you all are crazy,
no,
are we able to deal
you're
with
crazy.
Racism?
I'm not saying you're crazy. You can believe
okay,
what
but
you
how
want.
About,
the fact is,
this
you
is why we
can't
discuss
can.
The gay issue and religion.
Under the guise that you're trying to understand when it's not your purpose.
Okay.
How
about I agree with you all that whatever you want to say is right, okay? How do we now look at racism and brutality? Because that's the big issue.
How is it
is
the
there
big
a way
issue
that we can
you?
Solve these issues? What's that?
How is it a big issue for you?
How is racism and police brutality a big issue for me, a person that
yes.
survived it and sees it almost every day in my community? That's how it's a big issue because it fucked
yeah,
up
I
our
don't
life.
Know
that's
these
how.
Things about you.
No,
I don't
that's
know
why
these
I'm telling
things.
You. But
that's
even if
I
didn't experience it personally, I see enough black people suffering at it. Are you concerned
you
about it or are you asking
I don't
rhetorical
see
questions?
Any black people suffering from it.
So,
you
hear talking
you,
dust,
I
but we're
black.
Here.
I'm black.
I'm black. And trust me,
I'm talking in Oklahoma.
Angela.
In Oklahoma, in my community, the number one minority is Latinos. Second minority is Native Americans. Then it's African Americans.
And tell us how that relates to the racism issue and whether my point is valid. Are you saying,
I was saying that
what should
I
we focus on?
What you see in my community.
Okay, good.
I do
that's
not
why I told you.
African American.
Oh, I appreciate
I was
that.
Responding back.
Yeah, and I gave you an answer. I see it every fucking day. Any other question
well,
regarding racism or police brutality? Because I can tell you firsthand. What would you like to know, sister?
Well,
education.
I can put it here this way. I'm black, and I've been black for the last 49 years, and I have
yeah.
experienced more racism against me from the black community strictly because of the color of my skin, which happens to be dark. And I can guarantee
you know
Darwell
A, the
that
color
Diva,
of your
hold on,
skin.
Diva, hold on, Diva.
It's the
Diva,
color.
Hold on a second. Hold on
let
a second.
I want to hear what
let,
he has
hold
to say.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. It is because I was too dark. Oh, no, don't talk to him. He's too dark.
I've heard
cetera,
of that.
Et cetera. And then that is just as much racist as any white person calling me anything else.
It's not racism.
That
discrimination, hurts. Yes, but racism, no, because those black people who discriminate against you have no power to keep you where you're at. Secondly, as a kid growing up in the 60s, I can understand that. I can understand what you've gone through, okay? Thirdly, as an adult, you know darn well most of your discrimination comes from your political views more so than your skin color.
No, Diva, let me explain it to you this way. Let me explain it to you this way. I'll tell you like this. People see me, they see who I am, they see the color of my skin before they ever even find out. Before they even find out what my political views are.
Yeah.
No, Caroline, you cannot get me to believe that black people are just not having anything to do with you because you're a dark-skinned black man.
It might
be
true.
Let me
no, Angela,
you.
No.
I'm saying it might.
No, Angela, no. I'm black. No.
Hello?
Well, maybe
you
live in a different community.
Yeah, family,
no,
let
no.
me say that you both have valid points because I'm a dark-skinned brother also. He has a valid point, but so does the sister. What I experience is that because we are in a system from the plantation to now that has divided us by no shape, who has the big lip, who is darker. Even other black, brown people have often perpetuated the same system among each other. Now, it doesn't mean I disagree with him to the point of us doing it more. It just happens if you live on the plantation with other black people, many of them are going to act prejudiced. But if you put the brother with a light-skinned brother near the KKK, they're going to be just as likely to beat him as opposed to a lighter-skinned brother. If you look at politics, who are the ones usually making it through? The lighter-skinned brothers with the curly hair. Look at Jesse. Look at Al. Al might perm it. I don't know.
Right.
So you both have a valid point, I think.
No, my problem is that he thinks the black people are holding him back, because that's what racism is. Racism deals with power. You can't call someone who has no power to keep you or hold you back or suppress you or oppress you when they don't have that power. You can't call them racist. Now, do they discriminate?
Well,
yes.
Diva, hold on. Power has nothing
to do with
it.
I get it, too,
power,
but I'm not going
to
sit here and say. I get it mostly from the brothers when it comes to dating situations, because actually I'm more mixed. I'm more middle of the road because my grandfather was a compatible white man, and my grandmother was dark brown. Half her children came out brown, half her children came out light. And I'm a mixture of that. So, yes, mm-hmm. When I was growing up, black boys, black African-American boys didn't really want to date me. They wanted the high yellow girls with the pretty eyes. Did I get mad and say, "Oh, y'all racist about it?" No.
Diva.
I didn't.
Diva, it depends on how you define racism. It sounds like you're defining racism as a way to control people economically, but that's not the definition of racism.
Economically and socially. It's exerting power to oppress a certain group of people. That's the definition of racism.
That's not the definition of racism. I mean, unless it's your definition. Racism is discrimination against a group with the objective of saying, oh, our group is better than their group because they're white or they're black, or maybe they're another race, maybe not Homo sapien. You're saying what the result is. Yes, the result is economic disempowerment. But black folks can be just as racist as a white person. Once your mind is conditioned like that, you can be racist to a black person, a white person, or a Chinese, even if you're poor. So you're telling me to check this out.
So poor white people in the KKK
who are lynching black people are not racist because they're poor and they don't have the power. That makes no sense.
There you go.
Let's break down the actual definition of racism. Racism is generally defined as actions, practices, or beliefs, or social or political systems that are based on views that humans can be divided into races with shared traits, abilities, or qualities, which are inherited, and that this means that races can be ranked as inherently superior or inferior to others, or that members of different races should be treated differently.
The only way that a person can do that is if they have more power.
Than the other person. In our society, society has created this white superiority complex that gave the white man more power over any other race. And they used that power to separate us.
Back in the day, when the redneck, the poor white trash, you know, they had more power than the black folks, but they had less power than the white folks.
Exactly. The white man, whether he was poor and the black man was rich, poor white man had more power than a rich black man.
Because but the poor of white man was treated like what? They were treated like...
No, yeah,
like
he was treated like he amongst his own people, but he was still treated better than a rich black man.
Not really.
Yeah,
not really.
What world did you live in that a black man... got treated back in the day way better than a poor white man? Are you serious?
You ever... Diva, it has happened. It has happened.
Are you serious, South Carolina?
What earth are you living on? If you were passing, which means you black, but you high enough yellow.
If you were passing, they didn't know you were black. That's the whole purpose of passing. There's no point in passing if you don't let everybody know you were black.
That's right.
I had an aunt, my Aunt Leela, could pass for white, and people knew it. and she still got called a nigga.
Wait a minute. Could or
because she
did have
she did not
away.
Try to hide it.
That's
if you
different.
Look, if
no, 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 no.
South
look, Carolina, you can't
you
say
at,
you can't say she could be she could pass for white and got caught in there. It's one thing to be yeah you so you light enough that you could. It's another thing to say, look, I know I'm black, but I'm going to pass as white, and everybody thinks you white. That's completely different, and they treat you like you're white because you told them you're white. You didn't let them know you were black. That's completely different. Yes, that
you know
person
what?
Is going to get treated like a white person because
way.
They think that
put,
person is
I'm
white. But
way,
you,
here.
If they find out you're black, oh, you're going to get, oh, you're going to have repercussions behind that. Because no black person
like
was
this.
Treated better than a poor
God,
white,
Lord.
A poor white person was treated better
Diva,
and had
Diva,
much
Diva,
better, a better chance than a rich white, a rich black person.
You,
and you ain't going to convince me otherwise.
Are you finished?
Yes.
Okay. What I'm looking at and what I'm saying is this. If you look at Ebony Magazine, Jet, Black Enterprise, Essence Magazine, if you look in those magazines and look at the color of the black people that are in those magazines, what shade are they? The majority of the people in those magazines do not look like me.
Okay,
yeah?
South Carolina, again, it's one thing that black people treat light-skinned blacks differently. I get that. But you're trying to tell us that the poor actual white man is on the same was on the same level as the
in some
poor
cases. In
white
some
man.
Cases,
ain't no some
Diva,
cases,
that
South Carolina.
And today,
come
and,
on.
And today it happens more often than you imagine.
Of course, today
if you're white,
we're talking about today's society.
Friend,
so today's society has well, changed, but so you're saying back then
Diva,
the poor black
he's saying his entire life. Is
you're
that
talking
not
today.
He was born in the 60s. He was born in 63, 64, 65, somewhere around there.
And if I'm not...
No, no, no.
I'm
you didn't need to believe that black prominent people
you.
Were struggling for civil rights, for the same rights that the poor white
take
guy already
breath.
Had. Tell me, nah, I'm not buying it.
Well, I was addressing
South,
him,
either.
Not you, in all fairness.
You never lived in the South.
I have my family is originally from the South, deep South,
but have you
Alabama to be exact.
Have you
Did
lived
you live there?
Have you seen it every day? Just like I could not tell you what the dynamic is in Ohio because I was born there, but I never lived there. That's all I'm
saying.
South
Carolina, you mean to tell me, okay, this is what I'm having a hard time with, that in the 60s where you have prominent black people who did not have the right to vote, you mean to tell me there were poor white people who didn't have the right to vote either?
That is true
thing.
In the South. That was
we're
true.
We're talking about treatment.
That is treatment.
At some point, the poor white man can sit at a
lunch counter.
Diva,
the poor white man
Diva,
can go into a and go into a restaurant as long as he gets dressed
well,
himself and can buy somebody there. He could go in
listen,
there,
listen.
But a rich black man couldn't go in there.
Woman,
don't sit here and try to tell me
he's
that
trying to be polite.
Have you ever heard of a poll tax? A poll tax states that if you have land and you haven't paid your taxes on that land, you cannot vote. Okay? Guess what?
True.
Black people couldn't pay the poll tax because they had land. They couldn't pay the poll tax. They couldn't vote. So did poor whites.
True.
Okay. All right, South Carolina. Whatever.
No,
whatever.
I mean that's
South
a fact.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to call you. This is South Carolina. I love you to death, but this is stuff like this is exactly why black people look at you the way they do. It's not
well,
right.
People can learn from
but
one
that's
another.
What they do.
I
hold on, Angela. Hold on, Angela. This is a conversation between me and South Carolina. This is
Whoa.
You get upset. They see you in a certain way, and then when somebody tries to explain something to you, they don't. It's like what world do you exist in? Because sometimes
because
you try to straddle the fence, and you can't straddle the fence because truth is truth.
I'm not straddling the fence.
You are
straddling
the fence.
I'm,
because
I'm,
you want to sit here and say that in American society, prior to civil rights, actually prior to the 1990s more so, because African Americans still really didn't gain any success until around the late 80s, 90s. So you want to sit here and tell me that the poor white man had it just as bad as a black person. And then the rich black man had more power, more success, and more opportunity than the poor white guy?
Hey, Diva, economically, yeah. Trust me. If you're a poor white trash, poor white sharecropper, yeah, you had it just as bad and just as
That's
tough as some of the black
folks.
And I do know
about
that.
The poor white guy has a better chance of getting a loan than a poor black guy.
Not if he's still white.
A poor white guy still has a better chance of getting a loan who has several bankruptcies, still has a better chance of getting a loan than some black guy works hard and trying to start up, never had any credit issues or anything. They're going to give it to him before they give it to that black person.
No.
And you're trying to tell me that black, poor, white guys, white people have it just as bad?
Yes, they did.
Yes,
no,
that's
I'm sorry.
Economically, Diva, not everybody that was in the South had slaves.
Even rich people had rich black people still have their limitations. Even in today's society.
I don't believe
they have their limitations, and you're trying to tell me that's not true? Where if you're white
and
rich,
you have absolutely no limitations.
Every single door is going to be open to you. You go into a store, you can be dressed down in Beverly Hills with your hat on, whatever, sunglasses on. You go into a store, they're not going to treat you a certain way. Because they figure, well, you know, you might. Because
so
now even rich white people, they used to have, even now rich white people are dressing like regular folks now. So they're going to take a chance on you. But the white person who is dressed down, they're not going to take a chance. They're not going to serve you.
In every case you're saying that, thanks, man. Every case that you're saying, if I'm in Beverly Hills and I walk into a store, okay, the white cashier is not going to wait on me? Is that every case?
Well, we know that if you get on the elevator with a white woman, she on her purse. She get on the elevator with a white man.
I don't care.
Hi, how
are
you
doing?
Okay, but I know you don't, but the fact is
wow.
You're trying to tell me. You're trying to tell me.
Diva, here's the thing. I know who I am, and if that person is that nervous about me, the hell with them.
Okay, but
problem.
The fact is you're trying to tell me that the white man has it just as bad as the black man.
Yes, they do.
No, they do not. No, Angela, I'm sorry, sweetie.
Well, no,
don't have any clue.
My grandmother,
like black.
They had a dirt floor in their home. They didn't have carpet.
Okay, but they still
they
had
didn't
opportunity.
Have...
This is what I don't get
that's
about.
Not true.
I don't understand white poverty. And I'll be honest, I don't understand white poverty.
She was a
widow. Because
systemically,
there was nothing holding white people back from gaining, from reaching higher levels. Y'all were able to go to school. Y'all were able to be educated. Y'all had all these opportunities, and yet you still ended up poor. I don't get that. It's totally different when you're a widow with seven kids, and
we're talking about
your economic system changed because of that, because your spouse died.
And then my father worked for the movement. He worked with the NAACP. You know,
just because you work for the NAACP, don't mean you really have an understanding of what it means to be black.
I wasn't with my family the first 3 years of my life because it was too dangerous to be with them.
Okay, but what does that have to do with you still not getting it, Angela? You'll never know what it's like to be black. You'll never
know. I know what it's like to be hunted after.
I know what it's like to be
worried about a bomb.
We all know what that's like, Angela. Especially in today's society, we all have a fear of something happening to us because the society we live in. But it's completely different when you have a fear because of your skin color, when you're systematically kept down because of the color of your skin.
Did I have a choice of what my father did? No, I did
not.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Maybe I should just be quiet because I have no clue what you're – I really don't have a clue what you're talking about because you're trying to equate your father standing up for African-American rights with your economic situation.
He was shot at one point. Shot.
Shot because he believed in African-American rights. I get that, but
he
that still don't mean you
equal
understand
rights
what it's
for
like
everyone, not just African-American.
You still don't know what it's like to be black.
Everyone.
I don't know what it's like to be white. I will never understand. I will never understand nor know what it's like to be white. And I'm not going to sit up here and act like I do just because I date a white man.
Oh, I see.
So you will never understand what it's like to be black. He will never understand what it's like to be
I
black.
I know what it's like for my family to be persecuted.
I
know
what
it's
like
for my
I know
what
it's like as a Christian to feel persecuted.
Because he's standing up for what he believes should be equal for everyone, not just
okay.
one race.
Angela, I'm not taking away from that. I'm really not, and I commend your father for stepping up. I commend him because it was men like him. If you want to know the real deal, in order for African Americans to really get attraction, Tracy was right. You have to know the game. And it was white men, white even since slavery, it was white people that stood up to other white people and say, no, this is wrong. People need to be treated like human beings.
Yeah,
I commend them for that.
But
my thing is, you still will not know what it's like to be black. All you will see is, I, as a human being, people should not be treated like that. But you will never know what it's like to be black, to have people look at you and judge you.
I know what it's like to be persecuted. No ifs, ands, or buts.
It's a different thing, Angela. It's a different thing because you can't help. Your father made
a
choice.
You know, you're using being oversensitive as a form
of
abuse.
Your father made a choice. We don't have a choice in our skin color. Your father had a choice. He could have not got involved.
But I did not have that choice. I would have loved to be with my family when I was that young.
I'm trying to figure out how you're being separated from your family has to do with your equating that to understanding what it's like to be black.
When I'm
because
trying
it's beyond
to tell
this persecution. Because how did that affect you now?
It doesn't matter.
How does that affect you now? See, what it having African being of African American descent, it's affected us generation after generation after generation after generation. What you experienced at that time, it didn't continue generation after generation after generation after generation. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand.
Well, you see, the thing is, you don't know everything.
Well, your
whole
family has been
saved.
Persecuted from your father to you to the to your children to your grandchildren because your father stood up for African Americans during the Civil Rights.
My father was named after a black man. You
yeah.
really need to listen and stop judging people before they.
I'm not judging you.
What's your
I think you have been.
I'm not judging you. How am I judging you? I'm just saying you don't know what it's like to be African American. You're trying
well,
to equate
you
being
saying,
persecuted.
You don't know until you're.
You
a
don't know, and that's the reality of it. You can never know what it's like to be black. That's why I can't. I don't know what it's like to be a man.
Quiet and listen.
No, I'm sorry. You cannot tell me you know what it's like to be black because your family was persecuted because your dad or whoever stood up for black rights.
That today, he has had racism from the black community for 49 years that he's lived it, and he patiently tried to explain it to you in between your
because
your
Angela. You don't know him. You've never had a conversation with this man.
No, I have not.
I've known this man going on 4 years. No, now you're you don't want to be judged, but you're judging me. I'm basing what I said off of him of knowing him for 4 years. You're coming in and trying to pass judgment on me, and you don't know anything. You don't want to be judged.
I'm right on this. That's why you're upset.
I'm not upset. I'm upset. I'm upset at the fact that another black man has the gall to tell me that white people have it just as bad as black people in this country. Yes, that pisses me off to no end.
When it comes to poverty, they're on
the
same level.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm sorry. No, it's not. White poverty and black poverty are two different things. You guys want to. And he talks about liberalism. That's that liberalism that wants you to think that everybody is the same, and it's not. It's not the same for. It's not the same for.
Well, you obviously didn't know about the poll tax.
I did know about the poll tax. But even still, that poll tax wasn't developed and designed for the white poor man. That was designed to keep black people who owned. That was designed to keep black people from voting. And then when they realized it was stopping the white man, they came up with some other different poll tax. You had to learn how to read, knowing darn well it was overwhelmingly black people who were not educated. I guarantee you, the white man came in and said, I don't know how to read. Oh, you can't vote. No, they handed him his voting card. They handed him that ballot. And if you want to talk about slavery, if you want to talk about slavery, Anthony Johnson, who technically was the first slave owner in the colony of Virginia, who was black, had his land stolen from him from his neighbor. Anthony Johnson couldn't read. His neighbor, who was white, couldn't read. Both of them were illegitimate. But the neighbor had someone forge out a note that Anthony Johnson signed over his property to this guy. Now, the courts knew that both of them men were illiterate. But guess who they signed with? The white neighbor. So you tell me if there was no injustice, that white people were on the same par as black people. I don't know why I'm having this conversation.
You're taking individual cases and making a broad statement with it.
It's not individual cases. It's statistics.
You just named
a few individual cases. Somebody else can help me because these two live in an alternate universe.
You know, my family's from Virginia, and I am fortunate to know my father's background. Back to the 1600s, I had the will. Quite interesting.
And what does that have to do with knowing what it feels like to be African American?
You talked about Virginia? You talked about the first slave in Virginia? My father's family owned
slaves? What does that have to do with this? All your family history? Again, Angela, with all your family history, you'll still never know what it's like to be black. That's my point. You'll never know what it's like to be black. And you cannot equate your struggles as the same as the black struggle. Because no matter what, your struggles did not come from your skin color.
You're going to be offended. No matter what I say or do, you have chosen to be offended, oversensitive, and you're using it as a form of abuse.
No, I'm not oversensitive. I'm pissed off because
you're
trying to change. No, because it's people like you that allow George Zimmerman and Michael Dunn. It's people like you that allow George Zimmerman and more Michael Dunn because you try to put everybody in the same box, and it's not true.
No, I think you try to put everybody in the same box.
How the hell if I'm trying to put everybody in the same box if I'm trying to tell you that,
example
it's different.
To make a broad
statement.
That's
not putting people in the same
box. You tell this man that he's wrong, and that is his life.
Yeah, I am
going to
tell my friend that he's wrong.
And
if you don't like it, he'll call me, he'll text me, he'll Facebook me, and we'll hash it out. It's a conversation between two people who have already developed a friendship that, frankly, you had no right to judge or get involved in. You don't know the surrounding dynamics.
You know, then why am I on this show? They allowed me to be on the show.
Well,
I have every
the show
right
ain't on right now. This is the after
this
show.
This is overtime. And I have
right,
a show
but
on
the fact
own.
Of the matter is, he and I are friends. We've known each other 4 years. This is not the first time we have this conversation. And for you to involve, this is the problem now. People get involved in stuff
is very
that they have no business getting involved in. They didn't want to play the victim afterwards.
You know,
say, oh, no, you're wrong.
I'm just pointing out that you're using oversensitivity as a form of abuse.
What the hell? Me pointing out the reality being oversensitive. See, this is the problem. This is the problem with white America.
This is the problem
with white America. And I'm just going to keep it real. The problem with white America is anytime we talk about race or black people get upset about the treatment of black America, y'all being oversensitive. This man's trying to tell me white people get treated the same as black people, and we're all on the same par, and I'm not supposed to get pissed off at
him.
When the reality, I guarantee you that a white racist is going to look at him the same as anybody else of his skin color. But yeah, he's trying to tell me.
The statement did not even make sense.
He's trying to tell me, the best treatment he's ever got treated was from, well, then maybe he needs to get out of his little area where he at so he can see how black people really operate. Because the little group of black people that he, and I completely get it. I know how black people can be when it comes to skin tones. But
true.
You're not going to sit here and tell me that the worst treatment you've ever received came at the hands of your own people. Or that white people get treated worse than black people. You're not going to get me to believe that.
See, all voices should hold value.
Nobody's devaluing him.
Value.
No one is devaluing him.
You're telling him that he's wrong, that he's not right.
Yeah, and I'm telling you you're wrong.
Yelling
that doesn't mean that I devalue you.
Just like you're doing to me right now. You're not allowing me to finish my sentences. You're being very disrespectful. You know, maybe you've got
again,
your bad run
in.
Well, I'm
again.
Looking at your behavior. That's all I have to go by at this point.
Okay. All right.
And I want to learn.
She's like
I
you
really
why we
do.
Have Michael Dunn. Oh, I'm just going by your behavior, and I assume the threat. I'm just going by your behavior, so you're being disrespectful. Never mind that we're having a passionate discussion that, yes, people will over-talk each other. Oh, no, you're just being disrespectful because you're not letting me talk. You're not letting me get my point out. It's called a passionate discussion. It's called a debate.
Well, perhaps you should listen to the archive.
And your point is?
Maybe, possibly, consider discussing certain topics differently, allow people to finish their sentence. And that's not just for you. That's for a great number of people. Be more open. Don't put things into generalities. And honor people's experience. Allow their voices to have value.
Well, I can't get mad or upset that he made the statement that I didn't like, but you can get up mad and upset that I got mad and upset at what he said.
Well, you're using oversensitivity as a form of abuse. I've experienced
maybe I think you're being oversensitive
before.
At the fact. Maybe I think that you're being oversensitive at
that.
The fact that I got upset with him. I think you're being oversensitive.
I just
really?
Want to point out some things to you. That's all.
No, I think you're being oversensitive at the fact that I got upset with him.
I got oversensitive with you stepping on his words or telling him that's not true and that was his life experience as he knew it.
Okay, I think you're being oversensitive then.
Well, maybe I am, but I'm not using it as a form of abuse.
It doesn't matter. I think that you're being oversensitive, and I think that you're being disrespectful
you're
to me
entitled
to judge me
that.
In a context you do not know me or his relationship, or the fact that you know how this show operates.
Well, you didn't know anything about me, and you were labeling me. Labels limit.
I did not.
If you hear nothing else that I say, labels limit.
What label did I give you other than you're white?
That I don't know this, I don't know that. You're never
going to
be black.
You, that's not labeling you. That's letting you know the truth that you do not. You'll never know what it's like to be black. You'll never know. And I'm sorry that you can't accept that truth, but you won't.
I told you I know what it's like to be persecuted. Go ahead.
That's not what I said. I said you'll never know what it's like to be black.
What difference does it make?
It makes a lot of a difference because she thinks that being black is all about being persecuted, and that's not the same. It's not. That's what difference is.
I never said it was.
But you're trying to equate being black to being persecuted. That's like saying they're the same thing.
I'm listening to how you speak, how you respond. Now, those are the things I'm looking at. Now, what was the gentleman going to say?
Angela. I clearly said you do not know what it's like to be black. The first thing that you said to me and the only thing that you said was, but I know what it's like to be persecuted, as if they're the same.
You were talking
and they're
about
not.
Persecution in the black culture because he talked about how he felt that he was being discriminated by his own race, and you had words with that issue.
Yes, I did. He took it more than just that. I've experienced discrimination amongst my own race too, but I don't look at all black people as if they're racist and that all black people are going to treat black people that way. No. So I'm not buying his argument.
Sir, if I may, I think he said in his area where he lives in the South, he used words like that. So I don't think he was trying to say across the board.
Again, Angela.
I'm wrong, sir.
Again, Angela, this is where you're coming in, and you have not listened to the conversations that he and
oh,
I have or conversations that we've had on this radio for the past 4 years.
Oh, no, I have not. I will wholeheartedly
admit that. So you're taking what I said for just this moment. That's when I'm getting upset with you, because you don't know the total dynamic. Again, you just jumped into something and you didn't know what you're jumping into. Now you're mad because you got chewed out for it.
I got chewed out for what?
You're upset because you're calling me oversensitive. You're calling me oversensitive and disrespectful because
I got upset
with him for saying something, and then you're butting in.
You're using oversensitivity as a form of abuse. It's the only way.
You're using oversensitivity. Oh, so now I'm abusing him. So now I'm abusing him.
Sensitivity as a form of abuse.
Okay.
I never said that you would say such a thing. That doesn't happen.
This is so hilarious. This is so hilarious.
That you would think
that my dialogue with him is abusive towards him. That's hilarious.
I think.
I'm sorry, South Carolina, if you got any marks from this discussion. Any mental backlash from this discussion, any emotional trauma from this discussion. I really do apologize because abuse was not my intention. I mean, we talk like this all the time. You overtalk me, I overtalk you. Sometimes we even get into yelling matches. My problem with you, Angela, is you don't know all that background. You came in and you judged, and then you started labeling and making assumptions and theorizing, and you don't have a total picture. This is the problem we have in America. People don't know how to mind their own business, and then they get upset about it. They get upset about it when somebody else just blows up on it. Then you get upset, yeah. Because if you had a dialogue between two people, I would have said something. When that person is saying, you don't know the real dynamic, we're friends, we had this conversation before, I'm not going to continue and say, oh, you're abusing him or her. Because obviously friends have a different dynamic with each other.
Well, I do know this. You're going to think about it.
No, I'm not. I guarantee you tomorrow
right
I'll be talking to him the same way, too, and the next day, and the day after that. I'll probably go on his Facebook. We'll probably go back and forth again because that's how he and I do. Now, if he tells me, you know what, Eva, you're being insensitive, I don't like it, then yes, I will have to respect him and stop it. But that's for him to tell me. That's not for you to tell me.
I was part of the conversation, least you forget.
It's one thing to be a part of the conversation, but then it's another thing to try to correct somebody on something you have no clue about.
Oh, I think I have a clue.
No, you don't have a clue. You really don't. You really don't.
Think out.
You don't have a clue. And the reason why you don't have a clue is because you're upset. You got offended that I chewed this black, being overly sensitive, your assumption in how you think about black people. That's probably why you are all
upset
what I said about him and his little experience in South Carolina.
Sir, what do you have to say on this? What is that noise?
South Carolina. Oh, now you want to be quiet. You all started a firestorm, and now you want to be quiet.
Oh, no. I was talking. I just had myself muted. But what I'm saying at some point, I'm not talking about, you know, just the black folks. See, you know, we don't have a monopoly. We don't have a monopoly on being mistreated.
True.
There are poor white people out there that I'm saying are being treated just as badly and are suffering just as much as we are.
No.
You know,
I can say the white people have their issues of mistreatment and injustice, but statistics show that when it comes versus white and black, it's the black person who experiences the injustice and the mistreatment at a higher rate.
Girl,
you can put them on the same level.
You really need to go and be in some of these places where people don't look like you. Because
where do you think I live at? I live in Ohio.
I'm talking about where there's a extreme majority, not in a city setting, not in an urban setting, but in a rural setting.
Mm-hmm.
There are some dynamics that go on that
I don't live in an urban setting.
Listen to what I'm saying, David. There are some dynamics that go on that will absolutely surprise black people.
Let me ask you something. Does a white person just get pulled over because they're white?
Yeah. Trust me.
So a white cop will just pull a white person over because they're white, not because of a tail light or a license plate light is out or they're swerving or something that they're suspicious about. They don't get pulled over for probable cause. They get pulled over because they're white.
You've got some white folks that will get pulled over. If you're in the wrong neighborhood, you're going to get pulled.
Right. There's probable cause. If you're white and you're in a predominantly black area, they're not necessarily worried about you, your skin color. They're worried about you buying drugs.
Well, then why don't they pull the mailman?
I'm sorry. Because they know the mailman's not in the herb in the hood selling drugs. It's called probable cause. This is what upsets me. They're trying to equate them getting pulled over for probable cause versus someone getting pulled over just because they're black and they're automatically viewed as suspicious because their skin color.
Mm-hmm.
What about Native Americans getting pulled over because they look Latino?
Do they ever really come off? And that's wrong too. I can speak with all minorities
white people all the time. If they have a Native American in the car, my daughter's half Native American, so we often have full-blooded Native Americans, Kichwa Cherokees, in the car. I have been pulled over.
I'm not having an argument against Native Americans because they suffered some atrocious things at the hands of our so-called American society.
You're not going to get an argument out of me there because
being treated poorly.
I get pulled over. The white woman driving the car gets pulled over because I have someone that might be Latino in my car.
Exactly. And if you didn't have that person who might be Latino in your car, you wouldn't get pulled over. So, it's a color issue.
I did because, it was an old station wagon, that I was for.
Again, probable cause. Why are you guys trying to equate skin color with probable cause?
Maybe having dark skin is a probable cause in your mind.
Having dark skin is not no damn probable cause. That's what I get upset. Really?
Uh-huh. Yes, it is.
I'm getting off this conversation, South Carolina. I'm just like,
I'm just going by your logic.
Get off the plantation, South Carolina, for real. Seriously, you're breaking my heart right now. You're really breaking my heart. I swear, black people have mistreated you so poorly as a kid that you're just stuck. You're stuck in that mindset of discrimination.
I'm real.
If you're going to sit up here and tell me that black skin is probable cause for getting pulled over South Carolina, something is wrong.
No. Here's the thing. Here's the thing what I'm saying is people have got to get off of this kick of being color being an issue. It is not an issue. Okay? Once we get to the point to where we don't care about what color you are, we can really thrive.
Wait a minute. All right. Did you just tell me skin color is not an issue?
No.
Okay. I would like for you to come up to Ohio. Come up to Ohio and go into some of these rural counties and see if color is not an issue. Don't think that racism is one of the racist states in the Midwest. The Midwest is very, very prejudiced. So let's not get it and think it's just the South.
Listen to what I'm saying. Skin color is not the issue. The issue goes way beyond that. The issue is mindset. It has to do with your mindset. It has to do with what you believe and don't believe. If you can influence or you can teach somebody that because they're black, therefore they're unable to learn and the system is against them, if you can actually teach them that, their ability or their motivation to try and achieve is greatly diminished. And that is what's happened. That's what the leadership has done in the black community. They're saying that because you're black, you can't achieve. And that's what
happened. That's not true. That is not true. Because if it was not for the black leadership in the black, if it was not for black leaders, we wouldn't have had the ability to get educated. We wouldn't have the ability to have the limited amount of freedoms that we have now.
Okay.
I have never heard a black leader saying you shouldn't go to school. I hear black conservatives all the time talk against higher education like it's something wrong with it. Oh, you should go try trade or technical school because that's all you good for.
No, hold on.
You might not be a, that's what I hear from black conservatives, including on this show. I don't hear them saying, yeah, go off, get that college degree, and whatever happens after that happens after that, and if you got to change and switch it up, then do so. No. That's not what y'all be saying. So don't blame it on the